It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go, off and running on this fourth day of March 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And that's also where you go, of course, if you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Yes. And if you do pop on by, pick out a screen name and a password if you never have before, well, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Roger in Oregon, and Squeaky, and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave. Yes, and says it's a beautiful day out in Northern California. Got the lawn mowed, Sparky says. Feels like springtime. I had a little bit like that here, too. It seems that old Zephyr Seek, referred to in the prologue of the Canterbury Tales, is blowing right smart outside. It's not exactly his sweet a breath that Chaucer was speaking of. It's kind of a fierce wind, kind of a scourging, scouring wind. But the sky is blue. The sun's out. It got up to 56 degrees. Oh, my word. It was just as pretty as you could hope to have around here in almost level West by cold Trump Virginia Stan. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday here. And, of course, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. No. And so what that means is that thanks go out to our fourth day of the month subscribers. That means thanks very kindly to Dave, and thanks to Thomas, thanks to Paul. Thank you all very kindly indeed. That means that... Well, the fundraising goal for this evening is $685. That means we've got $85 to finish, to fully fund Tuesday, $300 for yesterday, $300 for today, and hopefully some or all of that will get knocked out so we won't be talking about a community-made miracle come tomorrow and Friday on the front porch, okay? If you'd like to help out and you're not familiar with how we run things here, there are no ads. There are, and you're new to the program, there are no ads, there are no pitches for you to buy gold now. There's never been a better time to buy gold. Gold is your best hedge against inflation if you're somebody who sells gold on Fox News. None of that. It is a community effort to create this program and make it possible for this program to go from month to month to month. And, of course, breaking... Here at the beginning of Thorn in the Side Thursday, Rush Limbaugh, he dead, as Jesse Lee Peterson says. Yeah. Or as our pal Steve in New York put it, it's March 4th, 2021, and Rush Hemroyd is still dead, and Joe Biden is still president.
Yeah, well, Steve, how do you know that's not just actually, like, Donald Trump in, like, a Joe Biden suit? Yeah, yeah, because I done heard it from Q. Q don't lie.
It's true, Q doesn't lie, because Q doesn't exist.
Oh, well, you'll have that. Right. So that's where things stand. It's March the 4th. The United States is still a thing. We still have President Biden. And right. Yeah.
Oh, but Robin asks Billable Rick, can you tell us about the fine non-products made by the fake phony baloney Horn Nutraceuticals?
Why, heck yeah. I mean, gosh, the hardworking lab technicians at Horn Nutraceuticals are looking every day for new and exciting products to put out there in the stream of commerce and do absolutely no one any good whatsoever. But hey, who can argue with a paleo chocolate chicken bone shake?
Sex clams are nothing. Hold out for the, that's right. Hold out for the Horn Nutraceuticals sex clams.
They're not widely available, but when they are, you'll want to jump on them.
Mm-hmm. And of course, yes. On this day in
Robin.
On this day in 1789, the Constitution went into effect in New York City. And on this day in 1801, Thomas Jefferson, who was considered the father of the Constitution, well, no, hold on. No, Thomas Jefferson was not considered the father of the Constitution. The fathers of the Constitution are generally understood to be James Madison and Alexander Hamilton. Anyway, on this day in 1801, Thomas Jefferson was, in fact, inaugurated as the third president of the United States of America. Giraffe's already here.
Yes, also on this day in 1997, the avatar of the asshole right wing, Ronald Reagan, who was so demented he probably could not even read the Constitution, admitted in a nationally televised address that he was the author of the Iran-Contratution. Tuition. Reagan, with his mild-mannered, sheepish bullshit, claimed that his heart told him one thing, but his head told him something else. Actually, Reagan's attempt to initially feign the fact that he had no knowledge of the affair went south when people such as Ollie North were caught.
Were
caught red-handed obstructing justice. Yes, let the facts show that Reagan ran from the controversy until the facts caught up with him.
Nicely played, Jeffrey.
After Ronald Reagan, old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, dropped the tariff rate down from 28 to 3%, good jobs went flying out of the country. Many began to lose well-paying jobs that had to rely on credit cards just to maintain their lifestyle. The banks began to open up their vaults and hand out copious lines of credit. They'd be covered if people defaulted on their credit cards, so bankers extended the credit. Reagan's tax cuts went overwhelmingly to the rich, while he was taking away popular deductions for IRAs, sales taxes, and interest on credit cards, car loans, and other consumer credit, effectively raising taxes on most people. Numerous bankruptcies ensued, but the banks were bailed out, but not the middle class, as this was one of the ways that Reagan ran up the national debt and helped to further destroy the middle class. And speaking of credit cards, some of the maggots who stormed the Capitol 2 months ago should consider doing some credit card commercials. For instance, the Q Shawman, Jacob Chansley, should do the American Express card commercial because you would not recognize him without his QAnon Shawman costume. Chansley would say,
While insurrection 2 months ago would say, while attired in prison garb. Yes, most of you do not recognize me out of costume, but I actually played a key role in the insurrection 2 months ago at the Capitol. So just in case you happen to accidentally get too caught up in one of your daily activities and end up in the Capitol building with a weapon or two, or if you get caught up and find yourself menacing a Capitol police officer, get too caught up and find yourself stealing fixtures or maybe threatening members of Congress, don't worry. Just show them your American Express card so you can post bail, and if that doesn't work with American Express, you can always order some good organic food while you're in the can. Play on words, can meaning prison, and also referring to Albert Lee Organic in a can. So whether you're in the big house or the people's house, always carry your American Express. Don't leave home without it. Well, that just makes Jeffrey want to do a credit card commercial.
Well, you could have one of the maggots standing at the Capitol steps saying, "Fellow maggots, if you ever feel the need to storm the Capitol building, whatever you do, make sure you have your Capital One credit card, because if you want to take one of Lauren Uber Boober's tours of the Capitol, you won't have time to rifle through your wallet looking for money. Besides, Lauren Boober does not accept American Express because, frankly, she's not much of an American."
Oh, well played, Jeffrey.
And wrapping up, Cynthia in the Bay Area had a beauty last night when she told the story of how a man she once dated gave God credit for healing her son's deafness. I think that was just her dentist. I don't think that was a date. Maybe I'm wrong. She then asked the man, why doesn't God heal all the other children, too? She said her question fell on deaf ears. I cocked my giraffe head and looked at Joey, and we wondered if we were going deaf also, because neither Joey or I heard a cowbell for Cynthia, because that, my friends, was a high-class play on words and a cowbell to my ears, which I will now award a day late and a dollar short. This has been Joey's Journal for Ronald Reagan, Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 4th day of March, with Giraffery trying to forget the Reagan. Yes, Giraffery trying to forget the Reagan ear. The llama, she is weary. Yes. And so, that means we begin the program with a $25 bailout the middle class challenge, courtesy of Joey and Giraffery. And that would take us, if met, that would take us down to 635. 635 to be fully funded for the week. Thank you, Joey and Giraffery. Cowbell says Bill Bulrick for Joey. He deserves two tonight. No llama bells. Well, that's too late. He already got a llama bell, which is very close to a gnur, really, when you think about it, but there's a real cowbell. Good deal. So it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and yes, Joe Biden is still president. Kamala Harris is still vice president. The QAnon forces are nowhere to be seen. But as Joey and Giraffery alluded, we do know that there is an investigation underway. Excuse me, please. The nick-ups and the nerps. And maybe it further explains what we noted when we saw Josh Hawley asking those pointed questions of members of the FBI and federal law enforcement. Do you have any
phone data? Did you sweep up any phone? I mean, have you got any actual calls? I mean, like from maybe like a Missouri area code? Do you have any of those? And, well,
maybe there's a reason for that. Because, apparently, according to CNN, and a report there, federal law enforcement investigators are, in fact, taking a hard look from the article itself. Federal investigators are examining records of communications between members of Congress and the pro-Trump mob that attacked the U.S. Capitol as the investigation moves closer to exploring whether lawmakers wittingly or unwittingly helped the insurrectionists. that was information that was leaked by a U.S. official who had been briefed on the matter. The data gathered so far includes indications of contact with lawmakers in the days around January 6th, as well as communications between alleged rioters discussing their associations with members of Congress, the official said. The existence of such communications doesn't necessarily indicate wrongdoing by lawmakers, and investigators aren't yet targeting members of Congress, please. In the investigation, the official noted, should investigators find probable cause that lawmakers or their staffs possibly aided the insurrectionists, they could seek warrants to obtain the content of the communications. There's no indication they've taken such a step at this point. Well, it's a lot easier to sort this stuff out once you've got a better idea of who it is you're looking at. B-O-E-B-E-R-T, Agent Fred. That's Lauren, L-A-U-R-E-N, Boebert, B-O-E-B-E-R-T. And that's Marjorie, M-A-R-J-O-R-I-E, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, Green, Gangrene, G-R-E-E-N-E, Agent Fred. And Holly, H-A-W-L-E-Y, Josh, and Lee, L-E-E-M-I-K-E, and you don't even have to include Constitutional Scholar. I think you'll probably find the ones you're looking for. Cruz. Now that's C-R-U-Z. It means cross in Spanish. We refer to him as Tommy the Tuber here, but the full name, Agent Fred, is Tuberville. T-U-B-E-R-V-I-L-L-E. Tuberville. Mm-hmm. Those would be some folks you'd want to look at. Some people who, you know, might have been having conversations with Q-tips, Q-balls, cucumbers, with Proud Boys and Oath Keepers and Free Percenters and the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters and the Evangelical Christians. And wouldn't you love to hear those phone conversations? Like from... Oh, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber, or Lauren Bobblehead Boebert said, No, I gave you the damn map. Look at the map I gave you. Yeah, that map, the one I gave you, it'll show you where Nancy Pelosi is right now, and you can go kill her. Freaking nitwits. I mean, would you be surprised? I wouldn't be surprised. But I'll bet you there are some... kittens with crocheted tails being had at, say, Shea Hawley. It's, it's something the American people damned well deserve to have. And the people who did it need to be in prison, up to and including members of Congress, members of the House, members of the Senate. Yeah? And how about, you know, the gajillionaires who funded this crap? And how about, Alex Jones? He's a possibility, too. What they're using, these investigators, is called an exclusion list, according to CNN. They see mobile devices that were authorized to be in the Capitol, like for members of Congress and staff, law enforcement, other government and public safety folks, and they sift out the people who weren't authorized to be in the building. And it's a matter of federal law that the FBI is allowed to collect phone metadata and geolocator data. And that's why Josh Hawley and Constitutional Scholar Mike Lee of Utah were asking the questions that they asked when Christopher Wray testified this past Tuesday. But we knew that. We knew that already. I mean, we knew that they were kind of, nervous. Oh, and Lee in New York asks, did I miss the inauguration? I was expecting the Grant administration would end today. I was told today would be the start of Trump's first term in office. Oh, says Lee, if only Trump were never president. I know. So that's a hopeful thing. Flavio reminding us, yes, my friends, Rush Limbaugh is still very dead, with half his brain tied behind his back, literally now, and talent no longer on loan from God. How about that? Yes. A number of people had noticed that had seen that article at CNN. And thank you, David, in South Carolina, Stan, for sending it along, among others. Mm-hmm. Steve in New York says, that article about Congress critters and their communications, I'm thinking someone called Hawley et al.'s office for their comment on that article before it broke.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Nope, not a bit.
But let the pogo sticking up onto the cross continue in earnest. The latest to do so is, and he alluded to it yesterday in a clip that we had here on the program, that people were saying bad things about him. So today, Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, he works in the lumber mill there. Has declared that he is under attack because of his unrelenting truth-telling?
What? Edith?
Yeah. And he's not going to give up on his bullshit. He's still saying that it was really Antifa dressed up like Trump supporters. I mean, you can buy them hats anywhere. Wrong accent, I know. And he didn't see any people with guns, so it couldn't have been an armed insurrection, according to Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. And it was all Nancy Pelosi's fault. Mm-hmm. And so pointing it all out, you know, the inconsistencies, he didn't do a very good job of explaining. But at the end of it all, he said, I think it's obvious that I'm target number one here. Yeah, he's a target. Mm-hmm. But a former member of the House, a Republican from Virginia, Denver Riggleman, told Katie Turr on MSNBC today, he thinks Ron Johnson has a brain cell issue. You'll notice he didn't say cells. Cell, a brain cell issue, as in he's got one. And it's just floating around in those thin gray settlings sloshing about between his ears that pass for brains. One former member of Congress, a Democrat, said that Johnson is incredibly stupid. But asked by CNN, Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, he works in the lumber mill there, said, I think there are some real issues that have not been answered, and I think these are legitimate concerns about the election, okay? I'm not afraid of the truth, okay? Don't look at my phones. Don't look at my phone number, okay? If anything, it makes me feistier. Feisty, festive. Yeah, all of that. Oh, and the guy from Arkansas who invaded Nancy Pelosi's office and rifled her desk and put his feet up on her desk. He's had a hearing in front of the court, in front of the federal court. His name's Richard Barnett. And hauled into court for a hearing today. He actually screamed at the lawyers and then, by the way, this is something that does not endear you to the head of the tribunal. He began screaming at the judge because he jailed. God, Jesse Lee Peterson's just a gift that keeps on giving. I've been locked up for a whole month. It's not fair. Aw, poor Idle Snowflake. Ism's unhappy being in the stir. Aw, Didum's not tell the court that he had an all-organic special religious diet and he needed... my heart's breaking. Aren't yours? I've been locked up for a whole month. It's not fair! And the judge recessed the hearing for 5 minutes to allow Barnett to maybe try to calm down and not buy himself some more more trouble with, like, contempt of court. Because, see, he's facing aiding and abetting charges, disorderly conduct in the Capitol building, parading or demonstrating in a Capitol building, and, of course, theft of government property. And he's entered a not guilty plea, but he is being held without bond. And apparently, as a result of the hearing today, because, gosh, how could you reach this conclusion? He's going to stay in jail until his trial. Gosh, I hope maybe that trial comes along, say, sometime in maybe 2093. I mean, they're going to be very busy. He sure was having fun on January 6th, though, wasn't he? But these pathetic maggots, these filthy degenerate apes. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Well, they're so dainty and privileged. They can't even take a month in the stir, being held without bond because, well, they engaged in insurrection against the government of the United States. You'll notice that none of these assholes have been charged with treason. Yet. Sure seems like taking up arms against the government of the United States. And by the way, arms doesn't only mean guns. It could be a broom handle. It could be a sword. It could be some of those long, long tree limb pruning shears. It could be a flagpole. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how he didn't commit breaking and entering of Pelosi's office, or maybe entering without breaking. Steve in New York pointing out, Dick Barnett. What you just described about him yelling at everyone sounds like sovereign citizen behavior. Ooh, good call. Did he continuously cite the UCC, complain about the yellow fringe on a flag, or say he's an individual and not a person, and that he's the trustee for the legal person named Dick Barnett? Yes, I've done some research about that nitwittery. Well, there was no mention of it, but it would not surprise me in the least. Oh, you know, he was just, those photos they took of, he was having such a good time. Oh, well, Dick Barnett. Mm-hmm. Oh, and a note coming in from Cynthia. Hey, thank you, Robin. A cowbell at last. Yay, better late than never, says Cynthia. You've got Joey and Giraffrey to thank for that one. I was happy to comply, but it was their advocacy that got you your cowbell, Cynthia. Enjoy it in good health. And Cynthia noting, I just saw a news spot that referred to swollen lymph nodes in the breast of some women nearest the arm where they received their COVID vaccination. The immediate worry, of course, is breast cancer, resulting in unnecessary biopsies. However, the swollen lymph nodes in this case means the vaccine's working, and the lymph nodes are doing their job. I have a dear friend who has a recent breast cancer diagnosis, and she gave me the happy news that her lymph are clean, and that's great news. So she'll be starting chemo soon, and I wish the very best for her. Those swollen lymph nodes, though, Cynthia points out, can cause worry, as you certainly don't want to miss catching cancer either. I mean, you want to miss catching cancer, but I understand what Cynthia, you don't want to miss a possible cancer diagnosis. The suggestion from the news item from this observation was that perhaps routine mammograms be put off until 6 weeks after the second shot. For what it's worth, I had my own scare a few years back, Cynthia says, with swollen lymph nodes in my left breast, detected after a routine mammogram. Yes, I worried, but was greatly relieved when further examination determined it wasn't cancer. But that will be one of the future joys you get to look forward to, too, Robin. The mammogram, when you learn the true meaning of that useful tool, also known as the vice. Oh, dear. Yeah. And that is a worry. My mother had breast cancer. And I hope it's not genetically passed. In this case, insert breast in vice, stand still while the tech squeezes you till it hurts, and then squeezes you some more. But that's not enough yet. Squeeze some more. Still not enough? Squeeze even more. And squeeze, clamping down till you swear you're ready to pop. And then hold still while they get the picture, and don't you dare move and blur the picture, because then they get to do it again. And they don't just take one picture for breasts, Cynthia notes. They take a bunch from different angles, and of course, on both breasts. And if they detect something like swollen lymph nodes, then they call you back for even more pictures from even more angles in the vice. Ah, yes, that wonderful torture device, the vice. I'll be due for my mammogram screening later this spring. I can't wait, as you can tell, says Cynthia in the Bay Area. Thank you, Cynthia. I mean, thank you, I think. Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. What astonishes me is, I mean, I know, and I've never heard a woman yet say, ooh, I just love getting mammograms. But the fact of the matter is, why not use a PET scan? Positron emitting tomography. Supposedly, that'll show little lit-up places anywhere that there's even a potential for the development of cancer in the body. Oh, wait, they're expensive, and health insurance companies don't like to pay for them. Yeah, I just have this crazy idea that things would be considerably simpler if we just had some kind of, but, you know, it's never been invented, it doesn't exist anywhere in the known universe, but some kind of, universal health care, where you just get it because you pay taxes and you're a citizen, and so you get to go to the doctor. No, we can't have that because, as Joe Manchin points out, people would just spend all their spare time and some work time maybe even having fun by going to the doctor. Oh, for pity's sakes. Horrible people. Steve, by the way, says, still vaccinated. Haven't experienced any side effects so far. It's been a tad over 24 hours. I get the number two shot. Well, let's say second shot. It's not number two. That's probably what's in the Russian vaccine, you know, number two. But I get my second shot, Steve says, on March 24th. I'm feeling very fortunate, he says. I can't wait until March 24th when I can start infiltrating maggot clubs and coughing on everyone. Of course, I'm joking, but would be kind of fun. Oh, you could always zip down to Texas and... Oh, no. or Mississippi. Or Florida. All kinds of possibilities. Stop mixing up the insurrectionists, Lee says. The dirty shoes guy on Nancy's desk is not the shaman. The organic shaman is another insurrectionist. No, I was suggesting the dirty shoes on the desk guy needed to ask for an organic diet. You know, because of his special religious needs or whatever. It's hard to keep all the insurrectionists straight. Absolutely, Lee. I couldn't agree more. Or organized or disorganized or, yeah, straight. Today's inauguration, Billville Rick says, in response to Lee's question, the inauguration was on TV today. It was on QTV, Channel 17. You need a special antenna embedded into the aluminum foil hat that you wear to receive that channel. Okay, that's good. That's quality. Thanks, Billable. Oh, what else? Thoughts, says Megan. It was only Antifa dressed as Trumpers because the insurrection failed. If it had succeeded, I don't doubt many of these people would proudly be taking credit for it. It turned out that today was a bust. But why? Was it a bust because of the increased presence of police and National Guard? Or because the Trumpers' get up and go was actually turned out to be lay there and fart? 34 minutes into the program, and there went dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. That one's on Megan, not on me. We clear? So there's a big sad maggot sitting in a jail cell somewhere. Bless his heart. I'm so proud of Chris Hayes. He is absolutely not afraid to take on Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia. It's a great day to be a West Virginian. Chris asked a question in his program last night. The public understands this bill will help a lot of people who really need it, the COVID relief bill. All of this said, why on earth would you, Joe Manchin, take steps to make it less effective and less popular? And yet today, that's exactly what Senate Democrats are insisting on. And he was relying on the Washington Post story that said that under the plan, individuals earning up to $75,000 a year and couples making up to $150,000 a year would qualify for the full $1,400. $1,400! And then in the House bill, the size of the payments scaled down to they zero out for anybody making over $100,000 a year and couples making $200,000. But now, under the new plan, it zeroes out at $80,000 and couples making over $160,000. The question is, are they still making $80,000? Are they still making $160,000? What taxes are we basing that on? What tax year? Well, as Chris Hayes pointed out, the net effect of all of that is that about 12 million fewer adults and 5 million fewer kids would receive the stimulus. And he went on and said a lot of those adults are voters who will now get less in direct cash assistance from President Biden than they did from Donald Trump. Why would Democratic senators like Joe Manchin and Jeanne Shaheen push for this to happen? And then said, cut Joe Manchin a ton of slack. The guy got reelected in West Virginia, the Trumpiest state in the union. Hey, Chris, are you listening before the program or something? Hi. This is a terrible idea. But as I pointed out before, Jesus. Terrible ideas get legs because of people like Joe Manchin. We'll maybe get further into that later in the program. If you want to talk about it, you're more than welcome. What else? Because there's some stuff I wanted to catch up with. Jeremy was asking me about it yesterday evening. But let's start with something else, because it's kind of a catch-up from last night. In the midst of the Bible banger, we are sons of God and the earth, and the great big unpleasant human being, or attempt at one, who was screaming at women for being overweight. Well, I let this one kind of slide by me, but this one's actually more important than either of those stories. Shame on me. Because this has real-world implications. Bear in mind that Pope Frank has said, get your vaccine. It's the right and decent and, well, Christian thing to do. I guess his bishops in the new 90 states of America didn't get the memo. Or the bull, as the case may be. No? Roman Catholic bishops, not as a group, but a number of bishops from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and at least six other dioceses from around the country, have issued statements telling their parishioners, don't get the Johnson & Johnson shot. Oh, you evil old pricks. Vicious, toxic assholes. Don't get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Hold out for the Pfizer or hold out for the Moderna. No, if you get a chance to get the J&J vaccine, for God's sakes, get it. And don't rely on some doddering old evil bastard in a dress to tell you otherwise. The bishops have their maiden forms in a bunch because the Johnson & Johnson vaccine relies on a line of cells, not people, not little snackerels of individuals, not a finger here and a thigh bone there, cells, just cells that came from a fetus, an aborted fetus, back in the 1980s. Great googly moogly. I wish I was kidding. Lab-grown cells that descend from cells taken in the 1980s from the tissue of aborted fetuses. And that somehow... We've had our fun. We've made sport of these idiotic, paranoid assholes who say things. Well, I don't know about their vaccines. You know, I heard that Bill Gates has found a way to put liquid barcodes in the vaccine, and that's what they're jabbing into your arm. Bill Gates will know wherever you are, whenever you are, everywhere you are. He'll know everything. Well, that's fine. If you can track me, Bill, send a check. God damn. And those people are breathtakingly stupid. This is vicious, though. On the other hand, people who actually rely on science and not mythology from 2,000 years ago, those people are saying, if there's a shot, take the shot. If there's a shot, get the shot. Don't ask, it's not like ordering top shelf liquor instead of well liquor. I don't want that Popov vodka. I want the Grey Goose. No! What you want is to live. And so you take the shot if there's a shot available. Damn, I want my shot. You may remember our pal Terry Ellen, who helped me come out on the program there on New Year's Eve. I had wonderful news from her. She said, she posted a picture. She got her shot today. She got her first shot. She gets another one in a couple of weeks. And I'm so happy for her, I could just bust. Congrats, sis. Terry came to mind because in the CNN story that I'm looking at here about these bishops, Dr. Paul Gopfert is director of the Alabama Vaccine Research Clinic. And last month he said, if people are offered the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, they shouldn't say, I don't want it. We're not in a scenario where we can pick and choose vaccines. What do you want to bet those members of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, who are almost all probably over 60, hey, what do you want to bet that they'll roll up their lacy sleeves and take their shot? And wait a minute, and they're not saying, "Hey, don't put no little precious fetuses cells in my arm." No, they're saying, "In the name of God, give me the shot. I don't want to be killed by some mouth breathing parishioner." Sure. Uh, And these, and this is a part I don't. It'd be nice maybe if Pope Frank would excommunicate these assholes. Because the, there's an office. Inside the Vatican called the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. And they declared back before the vaccine, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was even approved for emergency use, Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith said, quote, it is morally acceptable to receive COVID-19 vaccines that have used cell lines from aborted fetuses in their research and production process. Not it isn't. It is morally acceptable. And even Pope Frank issued a note saying the use of such vaccines does not constitute formal cooperation with the abortion from which the cells used in production of the vaccines derive. It's true. And they're not even aborted fetus cells. They're just cells way, 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 way down the line. It's like the cells of great, 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 how many generations? But the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops have stuck up their middle fingers with their funny little rings on them at Pope Frank and said, oh, yeah, you really, if you've got a choice, you shouldn't take the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. CNN reached out to Johnson & Johnson, and Johnson & Johnson wrote back and said, we're proud to bring our COVID-19 vaccine to the world and to contribute to ending this pandemic. Our single-shot COVID-19 vaccine uses an inactivated, non-infective adenovirus vector, similar to a cold virus, that codes for the coronavirus spike, the S protein, and there's no fetal tissue in the vaccine, for God's sakes, or liquid barcodes. We're able to manufacture hundreds of millions of doses using our engineered cell line system and look forward to delivering those doses around the world to help meet the critical need. But the bishops, nah, these are the same people who whose predecessors burned women at the stake for, you know, washing their hands before delivering a baby. Demons! Yeah. I despise this is under the guise of revering life, and yet these bishops are perfectly willing to kill people. Not just their own parishioners, but the people that their own parishioners might pass the disease to. I mean, this is one of those moments when we have to shift from, say, theology to philosophy, and rely upon a great philosopher to explain why it is the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops are doing what they are.
You dick!
Exactly. Thank you, Professor Spicoli. So a giant fuck you to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And I'll even offer that on behalf of Pope Frank, because they've already offered their own fuck you to Pope Frank. And they don't like Pope Frank anyway, because the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops is mired in the 6th century of the Common Era. While Pope Frank, who was formerly trained as a scientist, is busily trying to live in the 21st. Antediluvian pettifogging priests disgust me. Randy Radar pointing out, I hate to spoil your fun, but theoretically the provider could gather your DNA from giving you the vaccine. Yeah. But the thing is, they could also gather your DNA from the doorknob that you touched, or from a bottle of pop that you were swigging on when you came in the door, from toilet paper. I mean, we're some serious DNA shedding critters. So there's that. About those cells, Flavio says, back in December, the Vatican's doctrinal office already made clear that the urgency of containing the virus outweighed the remote connection to fetal tissue, and that Catholics could use such vaccines in good conscience. Yeah, they did. But, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops is not a religious organization. It should not enjoy tax-exempt status because they constantly meddle in politics, trying to compel the rest of us to behave according to the tenets of their goddamn faith. And that's why I despise them. That's why they're so, you know, 14th, 15th century. Oh, what's that? Are you kidding? You think the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops wouldn't burn people at the stake to this day if they could get away with it? Because I have no doubt that they would. Are you sure? Megan asks. Where are the bishops' facts? Does this claim actually have a story attached? Because otherwise this sounds too much like creepypasta's scary Catholic version. No, this is real. It was a CNN story. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops is having a conniption, along with six other dioceses, about the fact that, you know, fetal cells. Because they never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. Because any time that they can raise up their concern for the precious little fetuses, they do. And fuck them with a white hot poker. No, we'll just wait till they get to hell and then. Right. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. Right? Yeah. Oh, and that Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, Steve reminds us, that was the office Benedict XVI ran, Benny the Rat. You're going to think I'm crazy, but because he was a professor, I'll bet that even Benedict would have done what Francis did. By the way, this has everything to do with the fact that Francis is a trained scientist. Let's ponder this. The Vatican is to the left of a certain number of U.S. bishops. Yeah, that's definitely ponderable, without a doubt. Excommunication. Lee in New York says, I thought you were going to say that they should be excommunicated. The Pope should send a list of names to the Office of Papal Excommunication. It's right next to the Office of Papal Communication. Yeah, I'll give one out for that, the Office of Excommunication. Now, do they send out the notices on the from the Papal Ex Post Office? Thank you, Dave number 11. I have it on good authority that the liquid barcodes work as well as Windows updates, so, yeah, no worries. You gotta worry, Dave. Jesus, they'll freeze up whatever arm that you got your shot in. And they take hours, sometimes entire nights. Right. Hoi. Oh, let's see. We've got it nice and warm in here. I think I can turn the heat off. Yeah, it's a toasty 74 degrees in here. We're not far from Naked Radio. Oh, no. No. Don't even say that. No. The horror. Now, let me see if I can find... Oh, there it is. Like I said, there was a story that Jeremy... has been asking me since like Monday if I had covered. And I really didn't want to miss it. So this being Thorn in the Side Thursday and this being a pretty thorny story, I think it would. This would be a good time to do it. Let's see. Sorry about the clacking. Sounds like I'm writing War and Peace, doesn't it? I had the article on another device, and I need it's got. Well, I wanted to get it on some on a device where I could actually play the audio. And well, in the wake of the little appearance that I made on All In last week, I had a couple of friends say, "You got to get on Bill Maher. Robin, you got to get on Bill Maher." And I said, "Nah, you know, I don't think that would be a good idea because I really don't see eye to eye with him on a lot of things." And with my luck, you know, I'd get there and he'd suddenly turn into some sort of fucking Joe Manchin fan. Jesus. But once again, this article is from the Daily Beast. Once again, Bill Maher has found himself in a, I guess, just crushing a little bit on another former Fox attack blonde. You know, he's had a long-standing fascination with Anthrax Coulter. And so now, apparently, over at his show on HBO, now apparently he's got a new crush, and it's Megan. Of course, Santa Claus is white. Kelly. Jesus. Among other things, Bill Maher has said that cancel culture was what got Megyn Kelly fired, not the fact that she was babbling a bunch of racist horse shit and was paid $30 million just to go the fuck away from NBC. And as the Daily Beast points out, you know, she has a long history. She referred to Michelle Obama as Obama's baby mama. She had a hissy on the Daily over the new Black Panthers and how they were going to come and, I don't know, eat your grandparents or something. And again, Santa Claus is white. Blaming Black communities for a thug mentality. I mean, this is just she's just a vulgar, disgusting, fucking racist. There's no getting around it. It's really who she is. And so naturally, well, you know, there's Bill Maher inviting her onto his program and engaging in conversation with her about how I can barely even say this, about how the real threat in America is against white people. The single most privileged group in the United States, the demographic where the vast majority of wealth and opportunity reside and are preserved and protected. Yeah. They're under threat. The white folks are. And I just found it astonishing. So she comes swanning out onto the set and has a seat. Oh, dear God.
Kelly. Oh, hello. Well, look at you today. You're ready to be over COVID, huh?
Finally got dressed up and put makeup on.
I was going to say, you look like you got your old Fox News outfit on there.
Exactly I'm wearing more than I used to wear on that show.
They encourage you to do that, right?
Well, so I hear.
Come on.
No, honestly, they never did with me. That was one. I mean,
legs?
I've got.
Didn't you have to show your legs?
No one ever told me that.
Really?
I have heard other women say that, but I mean, I was one of their principal anchors.
Yes.
And in the 14 years I was there, no one ever told me I couldn't wear pants. And if you look at my history, I was wearing them all the time.
Well, you know, I always thought of you as the Marilyn Munster of Fox News.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, she was surrounded by monsters, but she was pretty and blonde and normal. You know, you never watched the Munsters?
Thank you. I did, but I was like four. Who remembers the Munsters?
Well, I wasn't four. I watched them last night, I think. Anyway, what do you think about your old shop there? I mean, could you even work there today?
Well, I mean, look, I'm focused on being in my own independently, which I like right now.
Yeah, she likes that because nobody will fucking hire her. Why? Wait, because she's a racist. And they went back and forth and gossip girled about who was still at Fox and who had really gone all in for the maggots and whatever. And then they got around to talking about, and the reason he had her on the show, it was she's so desperate for attention. A news story started circulating over the fact that she had, in fact, pulled her children out of a private school in New York City because she thought that her children were being taught critical race theory at too young an age. Why? Huh? And says, so Bill Maher says, you took your kids out of the school in New York, and I've been hearing anecdotally very much the same thing from many parents. He's in Hollywood. How many New York private school parents is he really hearing from? Right. And so he asks her why she pulled her kids, knowing full well what the answer is. And she says, we were in the New York City private school system, and they were definitely leftist. We were more center-right, and that's fine. And then they started taking a really hard turn towards social justice stuff. Oh, but what really sent her over the edge and around the bend? They put her third-grade son in, quote, an experimental trans education program on these 8 and 9 year old boys. And it wasn't about support. We felt it was about trying to convince them, like, come on over. It's not an organization, Meg. It's one of those you are or you aren't kind of things. And there's no recruiting. And you can't convince someone to be what they aren't. But is anyone surprised? I mean, for pity's sake, again, this is the woman who said, of course Santa Claus is white. And then she pissed and moaned some about that private school and a letter there that said that contained the phrase, and I bet it didn't, black bodies dropping around us in the streets and that it was mostly white supremacy. And Megyn Kelly said, blaming it on white supremacy is divisive and racist. It's so divisive and counterproductive, and it just wasn't just our school in New York. It's all over New York. Oh, and so they had a little love fest then, Bill Maher and Megyn Kelly, and agreed, no, really, agreed that the real people who are suffering now are white folks. It was disgusting. It was absolutely repulsive. Oh, and just to go back a moment to Dick Big O Barnett having a fit in federal court today. Here's the quote. They're dragging this out. They're letting everyone else out. It's not fair. This has been a bunch of crap. Bear in mind, he did carry a weapon into the Capitol. He carried a stun gun. Mm-hmm. They can't keep pushing me out month by month. I don't want to be in D.C. prison for another month. Other people are already home. So after the five-minute recess that we discussed earlier, his lawyer said, well, we're going to file a new motion for bail. And the judge said, okay, I'll rule on that motion after you file it. Next, bang the gavel, and Richard Dick Big O Barnett went back to the federal stir, and he doesn't get a chance to scream and cuss at the judge again until, oh dear, May 4th. Yeah. And see, this guy hated the government in the first place, and the government's hating back a little bit. Because the magistrate who originally wanted to put Richard Dick Big O Barnett on home confinement, and the federal government said, wait, what? Oh, no. And so the chief district judge, one Burley Howell, said that Richard Big O Dick Barnett, he's a big old dick, was a danger to his own community because there was evidence of him carrying a weapon around in the Capitol. And, well, Judge Howell, well, she was not one to take any shit on this. And, of course, you know, the judge, the court relies on facts and evidence. Like the fact that Richard Big O Dick Barnett, of his own admission, is a white nationalist, which is another word for white supremacist, which is another not word for white supremacist. Right. And he bragged about the horrible things that he had done, and he did it, you know, so that it could be electronically recorded. And he displayed an envelope that he stole from Nancy Pelosi's office, and I did not steal it. I bled on it because they were macing me and I couldn't fucking see. So I figured I'm in her office. I got blood on her office. I put a quarter on her desk, even though she ain't fucking worth it. And I left her a note on her desk that says, Nancy Big O was here, you bitch. Yeah, because he bragged about it to a local newspaper. Really? What a guy. Huh. Megan says, I'm not surprised about Bill Maher. After all, he had Milo Yiannopoulos on his show with Malcolm Nance, I guess, for shits and giggles. Yeah, he goes for shock value and nothing much else. It's just not worth my time. I never even think to watch. Because while I might agree with him here and there, really, who wants to listen to him sing the white folks blues with Megyn Kelly? I mean, honestly, no kidding, for real. regarding Megyn Kelly and trans kids, and they were trying to recruit her 8-year-old little boy in third grade. Brother Deacon Asa says, so you're telling us that you don't receive your daily trans Antifa morning recruitment briefing, Kincaid? Yeah, right. They're just having a hard time getting it to me. I don't understand. Subject line, Richard Dicko, Jeremy in Vermont says, which is another word for fucking Nazi. Also, at the end of the Maher Kelly interview was even worse with his mask theory. I know, it was a 17-minute clip, and I wasn't going to do that to the community. His mask theory. His mask paranoid fantasy, perhaps? Yeah, exactly. And so here we are, 10 minutes into the second hour of the program. We've got $685 to raise, or some portion thereof. And if we, Joey and Giraffe have the Raise the Middle Class Challenge on the table, that'd get us down to $635. And it would be great if we could get some response to that challenge. It would be really just wonderful. Sorry to keep talking about it, but it's the only way I know to keep this program on the air. So there's a $25 challenge out there that we don't want to waste. And then we can work on getting it down, so that we're not looking at a, well, it'd be great to fully fund Tuesday's program, because we've already, it's like Lynyrd Skynyrd saying, Tuesday's gone like the wind. And $85 clears up Tuesday. Then $300 yesterday, $300 today. But we can, you can double your $25 or $5, et cetera. You double your money by responding to Joey's and Giraffe's challenge. And that gets us to, $35 away from fully funded for Tuesday. So all of that. In the meantime, though, let's run over and check in with our buddy, Norseman Rick. Hey, Rick. Still there?
Can you hear me?
I do.
Okay, how are you?
I'm well, I think. It was a lovely day here. Can't complain. How about you?
I can't complain. Wouldn't do much good anyway.
There we go.
You know, have you ever had one of those days where you're having, like, whimsical existential thoughts? Not crisis is just thoughts.
You mean when you just sit around and ask yourself, hey, wouldn't this be interesting?
Yeah, or like the debate you often hear about, like, which is better, Star Trek or Star Wars?
I'm engaged in that.
But I always
Beatles or Stones, that's another one.
And I always thought the one about Star Trek and Star Wars was particularly amusing because it's basically a fully staffed research vessel with military capability, and you're going up against your weed dude in his van, his vintage 70s Winnebago with his dog riding shotgun with a crossbow.
My favorite take on that whole thing, Rick, was a meme or a t-shirt or something I saw one time that said, which is better, the Enterprise or the Millennium Falcon? And then the next panel said, while y'all are discussing that heatedly, I'll be somewhere out getting laid.
It is an amusing one.
Yeah, you see the humor in that.
Yes. And in the era of COVID, it's amusing how technology changes things, isn't it?
What did you have in mind?
Just virtual dates.
That
like
is something with which I am not
within video games.
That is something with which I'm not familiar. I haven't had to date since around May 1993.
Fair enough. But yeah, we both play similar video games, and they're multiplayer, like Fallout 76. That you hit me to. Thank you on the other way. By the way, for that.
Still enjoying it?
Yeah, although it has its quiet tragic moments, like you walking into a house scavenging for stuff and see a family of like seven sitting around a dinner table.
That's kind of weird. Are they alive or dead?
Dead, because everything here takes place 25 years after the Great War. Do you know anything about the Fallout lore?
Oh, very little.
Basically, in 2037, they invent fusion. It makes resources abundant. Basically, no one ever has to work ever again. So they start generating propaganda, and it's like 1984 meets The Simpsons almost. Like a 1950s idealized world. Everything's sepia and bright colors. And so they need an enemy, which the Cold War reignites between us and Russia. And they become the Soviet Communist bloc again. Basically all of Europe but England. And Africa. And then basically in 2077, it goes, shooting war goes live, and that's what causes all of the events of the Fallout games. His survivors about 400 years later trying to fix things.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I mean, naturally, the place you go to fix things is West Virginia in Fallout 76.
Yeah, well, I think they picked this setting this time because of the history. Because one of the guys who
we got some dystopia going on here.
Yeah. But I just wanted to call in and check and see how you were doing, because I know the weather's been kind of nasty and...
Oh, no, it's been fantastic here. It's been, I mean, the wind was a little blowy today, but we've had the first string of blue sky days in as long as I can remember this winter.
Nice.
Because during the winter, you got to remember, Appalachia is a temperate rainforest, right? And so it's not unusual to spend a lot of time under gray skies, and it can get really depressing really quick. And so when you get these days, you're like, yippee, wee, yay, and you run outside and you get a nice wind burn. But no, it was absolutely just a delightful day. And oddly enough, I mean, I know what I'm susceptible to, and as a consequence, I get a few of those gray days, and I get, really weighs me down. But then the sun comes up, and comes out, and I perk right up.
And I've got to say that one thing that's really helped through this COVID quarantine and everything has been the Horn community and getting to listen to everyone and getting to know people by listening. Thank you for listening.
I find it, you're more than welcome. And it's the community that builds, it's not me. But I think it's absolutely wonderful. And when this thing started and I knew that we were going to be, I said, we're going to try to, hang on and try to survive and not get the Rona. And we will create community where we can be together every night, even though nobody can be together.
One thing that makes me hopeful is the history of humanity. Everyone likes to get all dour and sad about it, but in reality, the truth of the matter is that we always come together during hardship. That's a reason why we're so damned hard to get rid of. The Earth has tried multiple times to kill us the fuck off and has failed. Mostly because when it tries to, we band together.
That's been one of the odder things about this pandemic. Of course, nobody here, nobody has been around alive to, compare it, say, with 1918. But unless you've got a different impression, Rick, I don't think we've banded together that well, and that's why it's done as much damage as it has.
The problem isn't on the banding together, it's the governmental response. The people have banded together. Trump deliberately left it to hang and to hang fire because he, in my opinion, as I said...
Are we talking about the same American people? Because, a year now...
From my ground level.
For a year now, you've had screaming assholes running around trying to spread the disease in places like Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, California.
They actually did a simulation of this in the Nota video games we were talking about. Had the exact same response we're seeing now, and they did it about 15 to 20 years ago. World of Warcraft, they released a plague during one of their events, but they coded it wrong so it could leave the confines of the raid it was part of. Someone figured that out and figured out how to spread it when they die. It ended up resulting in a mass outbreak event that basically mimicked the plague and the sacking of Constantinople to a T, down to the spread rate and how people responded. It's studied to this day by the NBC specialists in the Army, Intel, U.S. government, governments all around the world. They literally stepped in and told Blizzard they wanted a copy of everything.
Well, in what I've observed over the course of the past year, Rick, yeah, you're right. The government fucked up. But it was a Republican government that was supported by people who wanted the government to fuck up. And that seems to be where the trouble comes in. The wanting to fuck up part.
What I think it was is after Obama was president, Democrats got this euphoria high that they thought that everyone had it as good as the elites had it. It was the this is the second Gilded Age.
No argument.
We've talked about history before. This is the robber barons, modern robber barons, instead of coming in wearing a tuxedo and riding on a coal-fired steam engine, they're riding in on fiber optic and robbing your ass blind using a data line.
Very true. Absolutely.
And they're having just as disastrous response. Which is ironic, considering I say that over an internet connection supplied to me by a cable company.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
I think one of the first clues of insanity is you no longer get irony. Look at Republicans.
Well, sometimes irony just kind of has to take a little breather. Because, well, there just hasn't been a hell of a lot of room for it the last year or so.
The man who raised me was my adopted father, was my biological grandfather on my father's side because of Army regs. And one of the best quotes I ever remember from him when he was alive is, "You're a Republican, then you finally understand irony, then you're a Democrat."
That's a good line. So, you know, the number, you know, we've been talking about the vaccine earlier.
I'm convinced.
You know, you've got 50% of white people in America saying, "I ain't taking no vaccine."
I've got a solution for that. Anyone who wears a MAGA hat, you just get those roving, you know, the people from Wildlife and Game with the dart guns. You see them taking down fucking caribou with that thing so you can tag them. Put the vaccine in that fucker and just do flybys to the city. If they're wearing a MAGA hat, they get a dart. Better safe than sorry.
If only.
It'd be amusing, at least. And they could sell tickets to Republicans so they could do it, and top marksman gets a prize. Fucking turkey. I don't know. Guarantee every Republican in the county will show up. They'll have their own dart guns with custom sights. One guy who's got an antique hand cranked one.
Yeah, indeed. Well, let's see. I think we're going
to... I called in to John Bridivo's show, but did I talk to you about the Odell rune thing that they did with the stage? There's no way you fuck up that badly.
Well, no, we finally got an answer on it. The actual company who did the work is owned by an extremely liberal woman. And they presented several different stage designs, and that's the one that CPAC chose to try to maximize the amount of room they had to work with given the size of the ballroom they were in.
Yeah, but so it was like algorithmically, a computer spit out that as the best option.
Well, no, I mean, I think it was really designed by. It was designed by human beings, and sometimes there are just mistakes made by people who probably, in this case, if that was a bunch of liberals, they didn't even know. But the goddess of irony is a good goddess, and so the final approval was given by the CPAC assholes.
Avon Sola is apparently the overmind of all of this.
Well, I mean, you know, so the people who are Nazis and white nationalists looked at all the designs and said, "Huh, there's something about that design that just speaks to me. Wonder what it is." And so they open up, and the rest of the world looks at it and goes, "Well, fuck me, Dad, that's a Nazi rune." And the CPAC assholes are going, "I knew there was a reason we liked that."
But you know what the actual like symbolism is of me, and I told John about that, and it was verified by a guy who lives in Sweden.
No, tell me.
Do you know how it has a little wings at the bottom?
Or the top, depending. Yeah. I guess it is.
Well,
yeah.
It's like the diamond, and then it has the little legs. And
right,
the wings,
the little... Yeah. For all the world, it reminded me of something from Space Invaders more than anything else. Eep, 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 eep. You know.
Pew, 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 pew. The wings in my religion stand for the Valkyries.
Okay.
Choosers of the Slain, which was the reason it was given to death squads. And the other rune, the diamond shape with the legs... That's Odin's eye, which sees everything, which means you can't hide. That's by putting those two symbols together. That's the reason why the Nazi death squads in the 7th Panzer Division were running around with that on their collar.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
The SS, my family is has Ashkenazi Jew in it, about 40% on my mother's side. So... I studied all this stuff because I was fascinated with how you even structure something like that. What kind of twisted mind comes up with the kind of puzzle box antics that they had to come up with to make an efficient system that's that screwed?
I mean, are you talking about the original runes themselves? Because, I mean, it's a rune from 300 CE.
No, I'm talking about the Nazis. That's how I know all their connection with.
Yeah, I mean they just went through and harvested
everything.
Yeah, I mean there's even with Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is fiction, there really were Nazis running around digging in Egypt. There were Nazis in. Tibet. And they were looking for magical talismans.
Yeah, the Nazis actually believed all of that. And I think I explained to you I'm a theological Norse pagan, not a magical one. I'm not one of the ones who walks around like carrying enough amber to drown a fucking house, drown a fucking horse. You know, the ones I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The ones who think that like the 57th cousin of Merlin. But the basically just it's kind of I had a train of thought going there and it derailed.
Well, welcome to the program. That happens all the time, Rick. It wouldn't be this program if the train of thought didn't run off the rails, just completely derail and all the cars roll over on the side of the
Republican snuck in there with some of that Chinese steel for about 10 feet.
Here we go. Yes, exactly. Precisely. How's Spock this evening?
He's good. He's sitting here. That's what distracted me and caused my train of thought to derail. He was pawing at me for pets.
Well, of course. He's a demanding little guy, isn't he?
Yeah, but, well, we worshipped cats 7,000 years ago, and they've never forgotten.
You know, it's interesting you would bring that up, because my partner was saying earlier today that she'd seen this documentary about ancient Egypt and how the ancient Egyptians would go hunting and use cats in the purpose.
They used cats.
No, they weren't hunting for cats. They were using cats to... they were using cats to hunt.
They're better at it than hunting dogs.
Well, I mean, no. She was just giggling. Can you imagine? Oh. I mean, because, you know, looking at our house cat, yeah, can you... our cat's idea of going hunting is to meow... at her until she opens up another can of kitty crack.
Yeah, Spock.
That's what we refer to wet cat food as. It's kitty crack because they're impossible if you let them have it.
Once a week, I treat him to one of those Shiba. Diet.
That's kitty crack.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think they put MSG in it. It's like Chinese. It's like the Chinese food of cat food.
No, I don't think it's MSG. I think I think it's heavily laced with catnip. If you get right down to it, damn Nick.
Okay, well, I mean, I guess with cats you can just skip the middleman. Go straight for the addictive substance.
Oh, and by the way, you've been awarded a cowbell, courtesy of Jeremy in Vermont. Carrying enough amber to drown a horse. To drown a horse gets a cowbell. Pretty funny. So,
yeah, I'm starting to think that might there's some real dark humor within the pagan community about stuff like that.
I can imagine.
I found something out the other. We were talking about log cabins at some point.
Yeah.
And there's a company, apparently, that will take the telephone poles that they, you know, they stockpile them for use to repair the ones that fall down. Well, there's stockpiles of those that have never been used. A company buys them, shaves them uniformly, and basically turns them into human-sized Lincoln logs and ships you with a
kit. But is that before they're creosoted or after? Because that could make a difference.
After.
Yeah, because you don't want a house built out of creosoted logs, I don't think.
Yeah, they scrape all of that off because they're tapered.
Yeah, they whittle them down. Because among other things, it would be unbearable to live in.
Yeah. But apparently it works really well. And it's like $40 a square foot compared to like 200 to 400, depending on where you're building and how. If you're building from scratch or if it's prefab, you know.
Yeah.
I've often thought about doing that, moving out west and start getting myself a nice little cabin.
Oh, there's a building boom going on right here where I live. You know, I mentioned that the what had been a national recreation area, the New River Gorge. The New River, well, not just the gorge, but the New River was designated a national recreation area decades ago. And now we're a national park. And there are, not far from me, tourist cabins are going up. And they're beautiful. I'd love to just live in one full time. Heaven knows it would beat, you know, this falling apart house of ours. But yeah, in 10 to 20 years from now, this place is going to be unrecognizable. And I'm actually worried about it. Because I love it, but it will be an entirely different place once all the woods have been cleared out to put tourist cabins in. You know, they leave a few trees, you know, to block the view and make you feel like you're in some sort of...
Yeah, so the leaves can't get uppity.
Well, yeah, and so that you feel, you know, if you're a tourist coming here, you feel like you're in some sort of wilderness wonderland.
What I really want, the kind of land I really want, is like at the foot of the Rocky Mountains, where it's a little bit too rugged for most people to want to live there, but close enough to where I can walk to town if I really want to, even in like a snowstorm. Just get myself a nice wood-fired stove. gas line, one of those gas-fired generators.
Yeah, those are nice.
You know, that kick on when the power goes out, get electricity and internet. I'm not trying to go Amish here. I'm just trying to get myself a little removed from society and get a nice little horse and a cart, maybe.
That sounds like you're going pretty Amish, Rick. I mean, then again, you're not going to start dressing. You're not going to. You're not going to grow one of those funny looking beards and dress all in black.
No, no. I like nature.
Oh well, you'd love it here. I'm not pitching. I don't have any real estate to sell, but you'd love it here. I mean, my God, I think there's 1,600 miles of trails, just in my area. Something like that.
And Spock would probably like that too.
Lots of trees.
Chasing wildlife.
Yeah. Jeremy pointed out, cat fact, cats when in groups don't generally meow at each other, growl yes and scream, but they've apparently evolved and learned that meowing at us gets them things, because it's cute.
Meow. Meow.
It's literally a language they make up for us. They're learning a transliterative language to bridge the gap because they know we can't understand their language. They can't learn ours, or they can't speak ours, but this is closest thing in the middle, and it's really creepy.
Oh, the little tortoise shell kitty that's running around this house now, and I'm just in love with her. She's just darling. But she's also nuts. And she is doing everything in her power to speak. And she's developed this thing. Oh, it's hilarious. It wasn't funny at the time. Ferg didn't even like it a little bit. But the other night, and we still haven't figured out how she did it. Hey, this is Cat Talk with Robin. She found a box of pancake mix. Opened the box of pancake mix. Stuck her cute little tortoiseshell kitty cat snout in, grabbed the bag of pancake mix, the plastic bag that's inside the cardboard box, and began carrying it around and ripped and took it into where Ferg was sleeping, ripped it open, and dumped it on his head. I'm not kidding.
I'm convinced cats have a sense of humor.
That morning, I about busted my skinny little butt slipping and sliding on pancake mix as I went in to make our morning coffee. I was like, what the hell did you do? And she just looked at me all cute. But she's developed this thing. You know, some cats have that thing where they like to chew on plastic and it's not good for them. It's called pica or something like that.
Yeah, luckily Spock has picked up that habit.
Little Pumpkin found a bag of marshmallows. Again, put somewhere you would not expect a cat to find it. And she got the marshmallow bag out, ripped it open, and spent the night raising hell playing marshmallow hockey all through the house. So that morning, we got up and picked up marshmallows. Threw them away. And she was disgusted. And she went and found the other bag of marshmallows, carried it around, and I found it laying on the floor, and I picked it up, and I set it up where she couldn't get it, and I swear, she looked at me and said, "You went back. Went back." It was like, you know, Agnes is, listen to this. Went back. Put it back. Whew. Huh. And that's the moment where I looked down, picked her up, cuddled her, just quietly checked. Do you have thumbs?
She's one of those six-toed cats. All of a sudden, she's working your car.
Yeah. Picking locks. Opening doors.
You just look at her one day. If you're going to drive the car, you got to get a job.
Right. But apparently she thinks she's part golden retriever or Labrador retriever or something, because you know how it is with labs or goldens. They're only happy if they're carrying something in their genetically predetermined retrieving mouths. A sock, a shoe, whatever. A blanket.
One of my friend's golden retrievers had the weirdest behavior. If it didn't have anything in its mouth, it would just gum your hand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, well, she apparently, this little kitty cat apparently thinks she's part girl because now she's not so much into playing marshmallow hockey. Now she just carries her bag of marshmallows around. And it's the most adorable damn thing you've ever seen it. And we keep trying to get pictures, and she's like, "Oh shit!" and drops it. It's like she's afraid, you know. I don't want to be an Instagram meme.
Oh, we were talking earlier about the Fallout lore.
Yeah.
And the reason why that kind of felt tragic and everything to me today, and why I like games that can elicit a feeling like that, is because it's like it's a good story, and. The reason that they decided to, I guess, tell the story the way they did is, well, you come to find out that Vault Tech, the company that is the sinister group behind all the vaults, all the survivors, and all the games, actually took control of the government, hacked everything, and launched the nukes themselves, and no one actually declared World War III. They did it because the company, government was about to turn socialist and get rid of Vault-Tec. So it'd be like basically Walmart selling fallout shelters, realizing they're about to get taxed, and then nuking the world into oblivion for it.
Oh wow! Well, I tell you what, I'm gonna clear the line and make some room for anybody else that wants to jump in on this.
Oh, no!
Don't apologize.
A little too strange tonight.
No, you weren't strange at all. You were just fine. And
I just like talking to the community, and it.
Oh yeah.
You find all the musings about video games and life with autism and stuff. Autism Corner with Rick. Fun.
I mean, I'm not laughing at him. I'm laughing with you. Made a joke.
Oh no, I did autism advocacy for years, and I've learned a sense of humor about what their difficulties there might be or strangeness there might be, is better than having a stick up your ass about it because eventually that stick starts hitting other people's shit.
Well, that's true. That's very and that you know. By the same token, that's why I don't, you know, I don't get bent about pronouns and stuff. I'm too old for that, and it's easy to make the mistake because I'm so early in the process. If I get duded or buddied, you know, there's a lot of buddy. Yeah, sure thing, buddy. Around here, it's not something I'm going to get broken up about because people make honest mistakes. And in my case, people have been extremely kind.
I hope
and
I haven't.
No, you haven't. No. I mean, I don't even count it. I don't look at it. You know, actually, it's more of a surprise when I get properly gendered. And well, and that's delightful.
One thing for me is, well, my religion has Loki. That guy's literally had kids because of, with, and for, like, 70 different species, so yeah, my religion isn't going to teach me to judge anyone about anything.
Right, and, because you know, what's the old line? When you point one finger at somebody, there's four pointing back at you.
Yeah, and I mean, but I've got like 4,500 some odd gods with the minor ones included.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck picking the right one. What a delightful little joke that. What a delightful joke on all of us that is.
Yeah. Although it'll be real fun when I get to see at the end of all this. Well, Hollis, it sounds like it'll be interesting. I just don't want to get there any sooner than I have to. I'm not trying to punch the express ticket.
No hurries.
I want to have some nice stories to tell at the meat hall.
Exactly. And have you ever had mead?
Yeah, I love it.
I made it a few times way, way, way back when, and it was fantastic.
The best I've ever had was a raspberry mead.
That sounds good. The best I made was Charlie Papazian wrote the seminal book on learning to brew. It was called the Homebrewer's Bible or something like that. And there was a recipe in there for a sparkling mead flavored with lemon and ginger. And I made that, and it was back then. It was so early on; it was hard to get at the right yeasts because the yeast makes all the difference in the world. And so I used a high attenuating champagne yeast instead, and it just
They actually, on the note of mead, they figured out. Remind me about this at the end of your story.
Okay, well, I used the champagne yeast because it produced higher alcohol contents. The yeasts could survive in the higher alcohol environment. And it came off about 15%. 30 proof mead. And the day that I tried that, we both tried it. And the day that I tried that, I suddenly understood, because I'd wanted to taste it since reading Beowulf in ninth grade. You know, because it's mead. It's not beer. It's not wine. It's mead. And it just is terribly intriguing. And having had a couple of bottles of that ice cold and sparkling, I suddenly understood how you could get a belly full of it and walk out into the night looking for a monster to tear the arm off of.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that shit made me 9 feet tall.
I got this stuff the only time I have been blind stumbling drunk in the last 15 to almost 20 years. I have never been that drunk in my life, and it wasn't intentional. Normally, mead, as you said, is at most 15% alcohol. And I decided to go out for my birthday, and I bought a bottle of the new house mead that they had. It was an artisanal bottle for Halloween. I'm like, yeah, fuck it. It's called Viking's Blood, and apparently they juice the hardiest goddamn Vikings for this mink, because I drank the entire bottle, and then I tried to stand up to go get a cigarette, and I
failed.
Ended up on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Standing up, not a good idea.
Yeah. She's like, I knew you shouldn't have drank all that in one go. I'm like, it's just meat. It's only 10 to 12% alcohol. They're like, no, it's 25. You basically drank an entire bottle of whiskey.
God,
flavored whiskey.
Yeah, and see, I had a choice when I made that lemon ginger stuff. I could have made it sparkling, or make it still, otherwise known as flat. So I made it sparkling, and it had
the sparkling stuff is amazing.
Yeah, the head didn't last very long, but it was really, really tiny, tight little. Fizzy crystalline bubbles.
That's where honeymoon comes from?
Yes, absolutely. The parents of the bride and groom gave them enough mead to last them a month in the hopes that the month would conclude with them having conceived a son.
Yes. Well, with the Vikings, the sex wasn't involved because it was an equal society as far as, like, rights of the sexes went, other than the fact that most of the marriage laws tended to skew heavily towards women.
Well, what's fascinating is that with the honeymoon, it was one of those cases where their intuition was right, because scientists later did some sort of research that showed that mead changes the uterine pH. Or modify, and it turns out that the little Y chromosome swimmers do better in that more acidic uterine environment, and the X chromosome swimmers do better in a more neutral or basic environment. And so, when a woman consumes mead, she actually did run her chances up of having a boy child.
And one other thing that was what I was going to say earlier is the berserkers, the worshippers of Odin, that's another reason why they used the Odal rune, is because it was also used by berserkers during medieval period, because they were Odin worshippers. in modern Norse paganism, we use a diamond shape instead of the Odal rune.
Okay, that's probably a better look.
Yeah, and good luck trying to make that one fucking racist, assholes. It's a zero. Blow us.
I understand. All right, Rick, you have yourself a good evening. And we will talk soon. Of course, we got Friday on the front porch tomorrow evening, so I expect and hope you'll be there.
Oh, before I forget, but basically they would put the stuff from Absinthe Wormwood.
Yeah, yeah.
They would store the Berserker Mead and only Berserker's Mead with Wormwood casks for like 20 years. And it basically turned into a hallucinogen.
Not surprising. I mean, Wormwood has I think it has a narcotic effect of some sort.
It'll make you see, it makes an LSD trip look fucking peaceful, from what I understand.
Well, I've had Absinthe. I'm not fond of it. I never had anything more than a headache the next morning from it, but... Because it's so sweet. It's so sweet, and I'm not that crazy about, you know, licorice flavor.
Yeah, this doesn't taste like licorice when they did this, apparently.
No. They distilled it with it, but it's basically the recipe. Yeah. Absinthe is just an anisette distilled with wormwood.
I despise anise. No, that was just a side comment, I despise anise. But I'll let you go. I'm sorry I was babbling.
Oh, no. You weren't babbling at all. I enjoyed the conversation, Rick. You have yourself a good evening, my friend.
I will. You too. And may your nights be enjoyable and safe and warm. I'm going to sit here in my warm little apartment with my cat and shoot things on Fallout until I have my virtual date. You have a good night.
Sounds good. Enjoy the date.
I will.
All right. Take care, Rick. Bye now.
Well, bye.
That's our buddy Rick. Virtual date. Wow. I'm kind of behind, and gladly so, behind the times. Let's see, a little catching up to do in regard to the little kitty cat. Randy Radar says, you've got a reincarnated deceased relative there in that cat. It's entirely possible. I just wonder which little trickster that was. My dad loved pancakes. The truth about cats, because it turned into cat talk. I saw someone in the store a few weeks ago. A T-shirt or something. I wish I'd picked it up. It said, "Dogs have owners and cats have staff." Yeah, that's our buddy Dave in the Blind. And it's true. Of course, I remember a long time ago, I think it was our pal Beth in Dallas, who I was talking about at some point about, you know, cats and language, and Beth told me, no, they have a language, it's just not very interesting. The only thing cats ever say is, "Everything here is mine." Made a lot of sense. Sorted a lot of stuff out for me. Let's see, one more cat fact from Jeremy in Vermont. Cats are predators, and when they look at you, they're probably sizing you up most of the time, trying to figure out how best to kill you for play and some food. Yeah. Well, we often joke about the fact that, you know, we hope, you know, when that day comes, and hopefully it's a long time hence, that somebody will find us before the cats do, because, you know, they'll just eat our face. They got no, you know, no, they're predators. They'll do that. I mean, stories of that happening. Okay, we are rapidly approaching the third hour of the program. We are still a goose egg. On Joey and Giraffe's challenge, trying to get away down from 685 and finish off fundraising for Tuesday, which is $85 away. Finishing off Joey and Giraffe's Restore the Middle Class challenge would take us back to get us to 635. If we could get down to $600, it would even be wonderful. Okay, I mean, just it would be great. Because I can't keep this program going on my good looks. We have to do it together. I've got that, Flavio. I've got that in the stack. But let's check in on the phone real quick. Hey, welcome to the program. Who have I got?
Happy Thursday to you, Bobby. This is Reggie from the Cape.
Hey, Reggie, what's happening, man?
Beginning with the quote-unquote forgive and pardon the pun. Neanderthal said about Joe Biden's use of the word Neanderthal thinking. We had Kayleigh McEnany, as you call her, on Fox TV's Radio News for Wonder, saying that trying to compare Joe Biden's Neanderthal thinking to Hillary Clinton's deplorable to the uses of the word. They're both very respectful.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw the conniption over Neanderthals. Yeah, that was delightful.
Why do you say that, Bob, exactly? Why do you say that, Bob?
Just because these freaks will grasp at anything. When Marsha Gedneth Blackburn goes on TV to defend the Neanderthals.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I've actually got the clip here. And it's awesome. I mean, this is awesomely stupid. Because, of course, Marsha Blackburn, goodness, is awesomely stupid. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe she's the senior senator from Tennessee. No kidding. But she was on Fox Business, and the following transpired.
Yeah. Senator Marsha Blackburn, Republican, the great state of Tennessee, joins us now. What's going to happen to Becerra with a tied vote in committee? How's this work out?
The way we're going to proceed with that is he goes to the floor for 4 hours of debate to see if he can be
Javier
discharged
Becerra
from committee. So you'll see that debate take place. And his record with the way he went after the Little Sisters of the Poor, suing them, the way he has pushed back against religious liberty, these are all things that call him into question. And you have someone who has zero health care experience, zero experience in public health, and yet he wants to be the Secretary of Health and Human Services, manage this $1 trillion budget during the time of a pandemic, and he has...
So you got that part. Javier Becerra doesn't have any medical experience.
Right.
Neither did the assholes that Trump appointed, but, you know, there's that. So let's keep going on that, Reggie. Hang on a sec.
No healthcare experience. Yeah. So, Stuart, what you're looking at is why does Joe Biden want him there, and why is he trying to push him through Senate approval when there is so much opposition to him?
Because he is Hispanic. He's the former Attorney General of the state of California, which is still a... what's the word of it? A state that welcomes illegals. And I think this is a payoff.
You know, having a guy who says, it's a state that, well, it welcomes illegals. Dude, you're not exactly a Arapaho, Stuart Varney.
California's vote for President Biden. But that's just my opinion, Senator. Not necessarily.
Well, and we know that Javier Becerra would put illegal immigrants in front of American citizens when it comes to health care.
I think so. Senator, I've got to move on to President Biden's Neanderthal comments.
Yeah, why?
For the benefit of viewers who only just joined us, I know you've seen this before. Roll that tape again.
I mean, it's not like Emery and Marveline sitting in their matching Barca loungers in their lovely abode down at the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Park and Country Club, even know what a Neanderthal is or was. Jesus. But, you know, they're still going to work it because, Joe Biden used a large word. Let's have a hissy about it.
Please.
The
last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine. Take off your mask. Forget it.
He said that's Neanderthal thinking. Is Tennessee guilty of Neanderthal thinking, Senator?
Yes.
Well, Stuart, we were called Neanderthals when I led the fight against imposition of a state income tax in Tennessee. So you know what I did? I started the Neanderthal Caucus because Neanderthals are hunter-gatherers. They're protectors of their family. They are resilient. They're
Reggie, were maybe? haven't been. I mean, we all probably, most of us carry a little bit of Neanderthal genetic material, but no. Maybe she thinks that's somebody's last name. You know, they live down, you know, they're where I live in Brentwood. They just live down the road, down the street a piece from me in our gated community. Jim Bob and Jesse Sue Neanderthal. They're fine people. They protect their families. Oh my God.
Resourceful. Remember. They tend to
resourceful. Help.
So I think Joe Biden needs to rethink what he is saying about the states that are choosing to move away from these mask mandates. In Tennessee, we have a lot of people that are moving away from mask mandates.
And they're going to die.
You know what? Our budget is in good shape. Our kids are back in school. People are going back to work. Those that have been adversely impacted by COVID that still need targeted, timely relief, you've got communities coming around these individuals, and we are going to lead the way out from this pandemic.
Yeah, no, they're going to lead the way back into another freaking spike, Reggie, right?
Right. And remember, Bob, Kelly McInerney said it on Fox News TV Radio 1 to 2. Like I just said to you before and earlier, referring to or comparing Joe Biden's Neanderthal thing to Hillary Clinton's deplorable. No, I said it before and I say it again. We should not or shouldn't be, we shouldn't ever be giving these people verbal, I repeat, verbal, proverbial ammunition to use against us. Because that's exactly what they're going to do, use against us. You know, don't give these people what they want. Well, don't give them exactly what they want. That goes for the mainstream, for-profit news media, too. Am I wrong for saying that, Bob?
No, I don't think you are. I don't think you are.
Why you say that, Bob?
Well, because of what you just said.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think you're... I don't think you've got it bass-ackwards or anything like that.
Right. We shouldn't be giving them what they want, okay? You know, okay. We want the plane. We want Joseph R. Biden to be Joseph R. Biden. You know, the plane board. You know, presidential. In other words, you know, not controversial, but presidential. What do you think about that, Bob?
Yeah, you mean like no drama? Back in the day when we talked about no drama, Obama.
Yes. Exactly. That's exactly. No drama, Obama. No drama, Biden. How about that?
Exactly.
We could go with a
dude reference from the Big Lebowski. A Biden, Biden.
Yeah, Biden, Biden. That goes to his wife, the Joe Biden. Yes, the Joe Biden. That goes for the entire Biden administration. Don't give these people anything that they want. You know, especially when it's controversial. That includes the media too. And especially those on the right who are just obsessed with trying to destroy this man, his family, and his, shall we say, administration. Am I right? Are they not? Are they not trying to destroy his administration?
Sure. And they've got the same goal that Mitch McConnell announced in 2008 to make Joe Biden, you know, they said it about Obama. You know, he said, our mission is to make Barack Obama a one-term president. Well, okay. I thought the main job of the Senate was to attend to the business of the American people. But no,
right.
because they don't care. They don't love this country. They don't care about this country, Reggie. They care about maintaining political power, even as their political structure and their ability to access and leverage it fades.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. The American people can go to hell. The American people can hang fire. The American people can, you know, for all they care, die by the millions of this disease. As long as they can access power. That's all that matters.
And profit, Bob. Don't forget about money. Money and politics go
well,
hand in hand.
The power feeds the profit.
Right. Does that include the mainstream media, Bob, as you would always say?
The multimillionaire for-profit media? No, I'm directing that primarily at Republicans and then people like Joe Manchin and Kirsten Sinema. It's just a cynical, dark, hateful view of the idea of popular governance.
Right.
They're only in it for themselves, and that's pathetic.
Right. Didn't they try to make former President Bill Clinton a one-term president back in the early 90s? You know, back in the early and mid
90s. Sure, sure. But then they ran Bob Dole against him. So.
Right, but that didn't work. If they couldn't make Bill Clinton a one-term president and Obama, if they failed at both, I think they're going to fail the third time around.
Yeah, one can hope.
But they tried with both of them, but, huh?
I said one can hope.
They tried it both. Yeah, one can hope. They tried it both times. It failed both times because of us, the American people, you know. And how do you feel about, I hate to bring this up to you, Bob, but how do you feel about Governor Cuomo's sincere apologies about these sexual harassment allegations made against
him? The only thing really worth mentioning in the whole Andrew Cuomo thing is that there's an investigation underway. It should be allowed to run its course. And then it's either up to him whether he stays or resigns, or it is up to the legislature of the state of New York, both houses, to impeach and remove him. That's all there really is to say about it. The conduct, if true, is gross and disgusting, and not at all surprising. But there's nothing to be had out of speculating about it. You know, when we talked about the sexual depravity of Donald Trump, it wasn't mere speculation. Yeah. There were over two dozen women who had put their names out in public and said he did this or that to me.
Those are facts.
And there are accompanying lawsuits. Those may also be filed. Yeah. I don't know. And, you know, this is not the Andrew Cuomo Appreciation Society. Probably the single best thing he ever did was to sign off on the fracking ban in New York.
Right.
That was a decidedly right and good move. I'm not going to sit in judgment of him in relation to his COVID response. Not as long as there's Ron Monkey up DeKlantis and Greg Abbott out there, and whoever the ignorant bastard is who's the governor of Missouri, or Colonel Taint Reeves down in Mississippi, or Governor Grandma Meemaw in Alabama. Yeah. At least Cuomo was making a freaking effort.
Those are the exact same aforementioned that people that you just named and stated who think that Joe Biden was referring to them as Neanderthals, right?
If it was me, I probably wouldn't have used the term Neanderthal because it doesn't have relevance to way too many tens of millions of Americans who go, "Nee what?"
Well, what exactly word would you use to describe these people that you named?
Fools? Fools?
Yeah, that's one.
I mean, that's broadcastable. These fools.
Yeah.
Sociopaths. I mean, that's kind of a psychological diagnosis, and again, it's a word that would be lost on way too many Americans.
Right.
I think fools, you know, for somebody who is deliberately going to turn his own state into a huge, you know, second largest state in the union, super spreader event.
Yeah,
there's really no other word except fool, Reggie.
Yeah, well, I hope the CDC goes against these guys and keep the guidelines intact.
No, you can't. Because our system of government says that we have 50 petty kingdoms that are free to fuck up all they want, as much as they want, and take as many people with them as they want.
But how are we ever going to get back to normalcy around this planet?
Well, Reggie, we just kind of have to come to grips with the fact that maybe we won't. As long as there are Republicans, as long as there are Greg Abbotts and Colonel Taint Reeveses and Governor Meemaws in charge of states in our country, we're not going to get back to anything resembling normal. It's going to continue to burn and burn and burn and burn through our country.
Yeah.
Until it, and it's not going to go away.
Yeah, until they get voted out finally. Until they all get voted out finally.
And they're they're not all going to get voted out. You'll see the second coming of Jesus Christ before you see a Democratic governor of Alabama. I don't think it's necessarily true in Texas, especially given that it looks like Beto's going to run in 22. Maybe he can get the job done. I wonder how many more Texans will be dead because of Greg Abbott by 2022. But you know he's a moral misanthrope, and he doesn't get up in the morning and say, "Gee, I wonder how many people I killed today."
Right. So he wants to blame everybody else for his fuck up, right?
Exactly. Reggie, it's been a great conversation. I got to roll because there's other people waiting, okay? You have yourself a good evening, my friend, all right?
Yeah, you too, Bob, and keep cool or warm or whatever it is.
Kind
of weather you got.
We're going to stay comfortable, but it's going to get nasty-ish overnight. We're not done yet here. Not by a long shot. But,
this month is the month of spring. You know, it's March, you know.
Yeah, we are... Shucks, this is the 4th of March. I think we're exactly two weeks away from the first day of spring. Of course, here in the hills and hollers of Appalachia, first day of spring can often mean you get 6 inches of snow.
Right. Well, I hope that doesn't happen to you guys in this case. Well, I hope you don't get snow at all, but especially
we're probably going to get something, especially given the winter we had. We'll have something because of climate change. We'll have something absolutely crazy, like on Easter. Even I think Easter falls on April the 4th or something. But at any rate, you enjoy the coming of spring down there. It's going to get to you a lot quicker than it's going to get to me. And there is nothing quite as beautiful as spring in the South. Yeah.
Does it get dark at around 6:30 or?
We're 10 days away from daylight savings time, so that too. I love it when spring comes to the South and the azaleas start blooming and there's just all that color all over the place. All the beautiful spring flower colors. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous, and I miss it sometimes.
I just wish they would leave daylight savings time the way it is and alone. What about you, Bob? Changing the clock back and forth twice a year,
Maybe. I mean, it's there's so many other problems out there, Reggie. I just don't spend any.
Right.
I don't spend any time on it. Okay, so thank you, to Randy in PA. Randy says, spring 2021 arrives on March 20th. So we are 16 days from the first day of spring.
Right.
All right, Reggie, you have yourself a good evening, you hear? Take care now. Our buddy Reggie calling from Decatur. Let's see, check in here. Crazy on a ship of fools. Indeed. That was Brother John. Lee in New York says, as to Andrew Cuomo, I hate how willing Democrats are to attack each other, and not all things are equal. I admit that as a man, I see this from a distance, but how Trump raping women is more acceptable than Cuomo kissing them? Is it me? Women should be treated with respect. That's the bottom line. Frankly, unwanted contact is unwanted contact, but that's why the law recognizes a differing scale and differing elements in an offense. And I am by no means, if true, I am by no means excusing Cuomo's conduct. Why is it so hard to recognize that you don't do that? That's the part I don't get. But, yeah, we will probably form a circular firing squad and Frankenize Andrew Cuomo, although it seems like he did a hell of a, if the allegations, if true, sound like he did a hell of a lot more than Al Franken ever did. But it's hard, yeah, it's difficult to look at 4 years of so many people turning a blind eye to credible allegations of sexual abuse and sexual assault from the guy who was the sitting president of the United States and who has gotten away with it so far. I mean, E. Jean Carroll is still trying to prosecute her civil suit. Ugh. But none of it is acceptable. Let's just make that clear. None of it's acceptable. And who could ever make an argument that it is? And to a certain extent, Andrew Cuomo has admitted some of it. He says he didn't sexually harass anybody, but that, what, he communicated poorly or, I don't know, was too handsy. I don't know if you can explain your way out of that situation. I don't know. And at least there's a bench in New York, and there are other sane people who could step into that office without endangering the people of the state, especially in the middle of a, you know, pandemic. Steve in New York says, how about referring to these governors as COVIDiots? Yeah, as in Steve Abbott is a COVIDiot. Or Colonel Tank Reeves is a COVIDiot. And Greg Abbott really is. He was on CNBC this morning, and he said, COVID is completely over. I don't like how they're moving the goalposts, them Democrats, about when we can and can't reopen. Well, here's the reality in Texas. 13.4% of Texans have received the vaccine. Most of those, I would say, are probably healthcare workers and the elderly. 13.5% of Texans have tested positive for the virus. At present, ICU occupancy in the hospitals of Texas is at 88%. And Greg Abbott is, indeed, as Steve in New York suggests, a COVIDiot. And God, I hate saying anything decent about Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, but they called up Jim because Jim's a celebrity now because he wants COVID relief more than Joe Manchin does. Here's the dirty little secret. Jim Justice wants the COVID relief because Jim Justice is going to get the COVID relief, especially if there's more paycheck protection. Somebody told me the other day there's a little community in this county called Denise. It's pretty isolated. But I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently one of Jim Justice's companies has bought up some 3,500 acres. And they're going to build tourist McMansions there. I was talking about how this place isn't going to look the same in 10 to 15 years. There, that. And believe me, they will not be homes for the likes of you and me. Oh, and I'm happy to report, thank you very kindly to Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. Joey and Giraffe's Elevate the Middle Class challenge has been met. So we got $635 bucks to go to come even with this week. And, wow, it's just, sorry to mention it. $35 more, and Tuesday's fully funded, though, and that's freaking awesome. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you for answering the challenge. Thank you so much. Going back to the Marsha Gedness Blackburn's claim that Javier Becerra has no experience with health. Jude in the Great Northwest writes, Betsy DeVos, Elaine Chao. Elaine Chao, by the way, who is up to her eyeballs in corruption, it turns out. Marsha Blackburn, Jude says, What a pathetic example of a woman who claims to know the man from Nazareth. All worthless talk. Oh, my. Just breathing here. I know, Jude. Jude says, peace to you, dear Robin, Reggie, and our community. Thank you, Jude. You are such a sweet soul. Thank you. Randy in PA pointing out, the press went after the low-hanging fruit, I guess Cuomo is concerned. But so, and I'm trying to sort this out. It started out with Andrew Cuomo fudged the numbers on COVID deaths. Then this came out, and then somehow or another, we've missed the fact that the negligence, the willful, wanton, and reckless conduct of the COVIDiot governors like Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, who's only governor of the state of Florida because actual Nazis and Klansmen campaigned for him and brought out the Klansmen and Nazi vote. I mean, he won that race by like 49,000 votes or something. No, not 4,900. And that, you know, there are enough Nazis and Klansmen in Florida to make up that difference. But, you know, we'll just kind of forget about all the people that his negligence killed in Florida. And we'll forget about all the people whose negligence Greg Abbott killed, and the people whose negligence Governor Meemaw in Alabama killed, and whose negligence Governor Colonel Tate Reeves in Mississippi killed. And I'm not trying to suggest, before anybody says anything, that there's some sort of an equivalency or that there's a... the whole idea is that we should be able to deal with all of these things. But it does strike me as repulsive that we go after, well, that we can, you know, what's the old saying, by what fascist or vicious authoritarian brutal dictator? 20 deaths is a tragedy. 20,000 is a statistic. And so, you know, I guess 500,000 lives, right? But no, I was talking about Jim Justice, and I'll go back to the phones in a minute. They're going to end the mask mandate in April in Alabama. Because, I guess, why? Because they're sick of not having their freedom. We want to be able to go out and go to Ruby Tuesdays and LARP and Smolik and Grabolate all over each other. And spray and spew and carry on, because that's murka. Well, of all people, Greg Abbott proves himself to be a COVIDiot and riding to the rescue, well, not really, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice, for God's sakes.
COVID is completely over. Now it seems like the goalpost has been completely moved.
Completely moved? That's Greg Abbott.
To lock down and mask requirements forever.
Again, President Biden calls it Neanderthal thinking for Texas and Mississippi to drop mask mandates at this moment of the crisis. Dr. Anthony Fauci, his top advisor, uses more diplomatic language, but listen here, reminding governors, think back a few months.
We've been to this scene before, months and months ago, when we try to open up the country and open up the economy. When certain states did not abide by the guidelines, we had rebounds, which were very troublesome. What we don't need right now is another surge. It just is inexplicable why you would want to pull back now.
These are state decisions, of course, and many states are relaxing COVID restrictions. In West Virginia, for example, bars, restaurants, and stores can now increase their capacity. Social gatherings can include up to 75 people, and K-8 students are back in class full time. The West Virginia governor, Jim Justice, joins me now. Governor, grateful for your time today. Look, this is a national debate. You have the president getting involved, his team saying, please go slow, governors, saying, you know, yes, you can relax some things, but be careful. Just moments ago, your colleague, the governor of Alabama, decided her mask mandate in that state will expire in a month. Listen.
But let me be abundantly clear. After April the 9th, I will not keep the mask order in effect. Well, I'm convinced that a mask mandate has been the right thing to do. I also respect those who object and believe that this was a step too far in government overreach.
You had an executive order last month, Governor. You're considering additional relaxation of some of the restrictions, but there's still a requirement for face coverings in West Virginia in most places, especially indoors in crowds. Do you think it's time to drop the mask mandate, or do you believe the president is right that we should wait longer?
Well, John, to be perfectly honest, the one thing that I'm not going to do in West Virginia, I'm not going to let this become a political football. I mean, I don't want to be critical, but so many people want to just move because it's the most politically correct thing that they can do. You know, it becomes almost a macho thing and everything. In West Virginia, we want to be cautious, we want to be safe, we want to be respectful of everybody's rights and everything with all that, and we've done the right thing all the way through this thing. I mean, you know, if you step back
not so
and
much.
Really look, first in the nation to test our nursing homes, first in the nation to get all of our nursing homes vaccinated, first leading the nation in all of the administration of the vaccine. It goes just on and on and on. But in all of that, John, the one thing we've done, we've always listened to the experts, and we've always let them lead us. And we've been cautious. We've been bold, but we've been cautious and everything. And I'm not going to throw mud at either side and everything, and I'm not going to dance around like a politician because I'm not that. But at the end of the day, we're going to do the smart thing in West Virginia. We're not going to do the thing that's just politically correct.
Well, then let me ask you on that point, and choose your language, Governor. Don't let me put words in your mouth. But you are a Republican governor. You say you don't want a political football. You don't want to throw mud at each side. It might be easier for a fellow Republican governor to listen to Jim Justice, who just went through the West Virginia success story, especially recently in terms of the vaccine roll, to say, hey, Governor, give it another month. Listen to the science. Sure, let more people go to restaurants. Let more people have social gatherings as long as they're safe. But don't drop something.
Let more people kill granny.
Scientists, your state health director will tell you, working right now. You sounded very much like you're not going to do that in the near future. Is that your plan? Keep the mask mandate in place for the foreseeable future?
Well, to be perfectly honest, John, you know, we have...
To be perfectly honest, we've got a mandate in name only. Okay? Because I've got the real world experience to prove that it isn't enforced. And so he can say we're going to keep the mask mandate, but as long as people aren't wearing masks, it ain't much of a mandate, and it never has been. I mean, this is a really, really low bar to leap for Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice. Surprised he didn't tell John King that the vaccine doesn't cause you to grow antlers. Holy God. Because that's what we've been dealing with, and that's the guy that the multimillionaires of the for-profit media are putting up as a good response. A good response is having a mask mandate and enforcing it. And making it clear, you know, we've got this, there's legislation out there in all kinds of godforsaken maggot states where they're making it illegal to sue anybody what doesn't give you the Rona because they didn't take care to make sure you didn't get the Rona. It would have been a hell of a lot better in sane states with good legislatures to pass the mandate and then pass an accompanying bill saying, this can and will be subject to law enforcement action. Jesus. He ain't done.
We have not had a discussion, you know, from my medical team in regard to lifting the mask mandate. You know, now I am very hopeful that we can get rid of these crazy masks because, you know, we all know we don't
crazy masks.
I mean, that's just all there is to it. And as we continue to vaccinate more and more and more, we'll get rid of the mask. But I don't know really what the big rush to get rid of the mask is, because these masks have saved a lot of lives. And even the most, you know, confident person that doesn't want anything to do with the mask is still saying they saved lives. And so at the end of the day, I don't know what the rush,
who?
The rush is. And if we don't watch out, we can make some mistakes.
appreciate your candor there. Let's talk about the vaccine rollout, and let's put some numbers up on the screen here. Right now, West Virginia, by the numbers, 12%, just shy of that of your population, has been fully vaccinated. 83% of the doses have been administered, meaning when you get a shipment, you're getting them off the shelf and into arms. At one point, you were leading the country. Right now, you rank a fifth.
I wonder who's first, second, third, and fourth.
In doses of administrating doses for 100 people in your population. Why? Help us. I asked you this question a couple of weeks back, but I want to ask you this again. What are you doing that maybe other states can copy to get as soon as they come off the plane or they come off the truck, they're in an arm?
Well, John, first of all, you know, I don't know exactly the numbers that you're using, but in West Virginia, we week after week after week, we have gotten every single dose that we've got in every week. In fact, we've gotten more doses out of the vials in somebody's arm every week, 100%. That's all there is to it, and that's what we're going to continue to do. Now, with all of that, we basically brought everybody hands on deck. And, you know, we brought our National Guard in, we brought our local pharmacies in, the local health clinics and everything, and we identified immediately that this terrible killer attacks the old. And so we just got right after that, and now we've lowered the age to 50, and we've we've lowered the age on our teachers to 40, and you know, and our service personnel. So we're dead after it, and every absolute dose that comes into this state every single week, we're going to get it in somebody's arm.
Governor Justice, greatly appreciate your time today, sir. I know you're busy. Thank you.
So, credit where it's due. But it ain't due to Jim Justice. This is a man who has blithely gone about the business of poisoning West Virginians for decades via the detritus, the dust, the poison that comes off of his mountaintop removal sites. And he's not cared a bit about that because it interferes with his worship of Holy Prophet, P-R-O-F. IT profit. But he has listened to the science, and they've done a decent job getting involving the National Guard. You know, there was that one screw up where they actually gave monoclonal antibodies thinking they were giving, you know, vaccines, but we kind of forgot about that. But it's not that hard. Well, it's harder than we think, isn't it? And so now 50-plus can get a vaccine. That puts my partner, who's immunocompromised, in the she should be getting a call. Hint, she hasn't gotten a call. Boss Man Wayne at 76 only got his first dose last Thursday. Well, at least he's not Greg Abbott. I did like the fact that he accused Greg Abbott of trying to be macho. Ouch. Ouch. But we have to wear masks even if we're vaccinated. Why is that so goddamn hard to understand? Why? And that's just pure childishness. Damn. Matt in San Francisco says, mask mandates being stopped. In the immortal words of RBG, it's like throwing away your umbrella in a rainstorm because you're not getting wet. That's exactly, oh, that's great. And that's a great reference, Matt. Thank you. I mean, I got an umbrella, I ain't wet. Who needs an umbrella? I ain't wet. That's some serious COVIDiot maggot thinking right there. That's what it is. Not you, Matt. The thinking, you know. Yeah. Acting macho. Que es mas macho? Greg Abbott is mas macho. Greg Abbott is muy macho. Jeez. So let's run over and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Everything is hunky-dunky.
It's hunky. That's from Casablanca.
Is it? Yeah, I believe it is now that you mentioned it. What was that character actor, the big heavyset guy?
Yeah, who was also in Christmas in Connecticut.
Oh, he was in a lot of things. I loved him. I loved him. And there was everything hunky-dunky with you, Robin?
Everything is hunky-dunky. I'm trying right now to remember the name.
It'll come to you.
Thanks to Mr. Google. Yes, S.Z. Sakal.
There you go.
Played Carl. Played Carl in Casablanca.
Yeah. I was kind of disappointed today.
How so?
I fired up the old television set and clicked the on-screen guide and did something I rarely do. I entered 210, which is the Fox News channel on my cable system, and looked at the on-screen guide and just scrolled right across the 24 hours of this day. And there were no program listings for the big March 4th real inauguration. I mean, I wanted to see
as noted previously, Scott, that was on on QTV on Q Channel 17, which you have to have a special liquid barcode injected into your arm to receive.
Oh, fuck. Like, I don't already have enough shit to deal with, and I got to go one more fucking step. Jesus. All right, well, I guess I missed it. I'll wait for the DVD or the the Blu-ray or the pay-per-view. No, I'm not going to pay him a nickel.
No, quick. Scott, that's not Blu-ray. That's Q-ray.
Oh, Q-ray. It's happening right on cue. All right. Well, thank you, Casey. And your little dead dog, Snuggles. Anyway. Now, how about this? How about this? This Neanderthal thinking. Boy, these folks are so easily triggered. You know?
Yeah, but who would have thought Neanderthal would trigger him?
Neanderthal!
But then again, if Joe Biden had said anti-disestablishmentarianism, that would have triggered him too. You know what else triggers him? And, but, or, it, they, them. And God knows he and she, him and hers. Oh, my God, pronouns. Everything triggers a fucking maggot. Everything. If a Democrat says it.
Neanderthal. Slowly I turn. Step by step. Inch by inch.
Peeking out from under my brow ridge.
Ay. But you got to love them, Robin. You just got to love them.
Well, they do provide entertainment. I mean, credit where it's due.
They need more pie fights. That's what's wrong. That's why the debates are just lackluster. No pie fights. I want to see that custard flying through the air. I want to hear the sound of the splat. Anyway, I just Biden's doing a fine job. I'm very happy with him. I just couldn't be more happy. I guess I could be more happy.
No, I mean, there have been some missteps. We've talked about them. We don't shy away from them.
I want to ease up to happiness because I've been so out of, you know, it's like muscles you haven't used for a while. And you gotta sidle on up to it, which is what I'm doing, I think.
Sidling?
Yeah. Oh, and I want to thank you, by the way. Some weeks ago, maybe even months, I was telling you about my Knorr wrapped in foil bouillon rectangles. They're not even cubes.
Yes.
And you turned me on to something called Better Than Bouillon.
And did you go get it?
I'm hooked on it. I'm hooked on it, Robin.
So what all have you tried? What all have you tried so far? Because there's the chicken, there's the herbed roast beef broth. I have still not gotten my hands on the lobster broth, but oh my God! And there's a ham bone broth, and I've been wondering. Did you try the ham bone broth yet?
No, I'm just the roast chicken. I See, I'm kind of limited by what my delivery service has in stock. And but I'll get around to trying them all once I venture out to the store, because I'm not going out anymore. We have a very high risk situation here in San Diego, and whether you're double masked, triple masked, whatever, I'm just not going out. I'm going to go out tomorrow to the post office, get the money order, mail off the rent, and then back into the home here, Shea Guru, for another 30 days. I mean,
I think you're smart. You know, at this point in time, with these COVIDiots out there, the only way to guarantee that you're not going to run across them is to not be out where they are.
Yeah, and thankfully I have that option. I know not everybody does. Very few people do in the grand scheme of things. But I literally do not have to be out and about any more than I want to be. And I don't want to be, not until this thing is, you know, comes under some order and you know, becomes resolved. And that day is off into the fucking future that, you know, and these clowns down in Texas, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The eyes of Texas are shut tight, sewed up, sealed over. Don't these fuckers realize? And I hope to God that, you know, the decent and sane people in the Lone Star State remain vigilant and remain on top of things in terms of taking every possible safety precaution. I have, like, relatives and friends down in that state. Used to live there years ago. And I'm telling you, I would no more take away the mask mandate. If nothing else, they ought to be strengthening it, you know, adding on to the restrictions. Because you know how people are. People are inherently stupid when given half a chance.
Well, and especially when using their lizard brain instead of their big primate brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is, what COVIDiots like, and look, Greg Abbott's fucking toxic and always has been. There's nothing Greg Abbott does that isn't toxic. People just died in Texas because of and not from the virus, but from a fucking cold snap. Because of the toxic malevolence of Greg Abbott. But apparently a majority of Texans are also toxic enough that they like having a malevolently toxic governor. But the bottom line is, while we give them the power via the Constitution, we give them the power of, you know, 50 petty kingdoms. What the pandemic has taught us is that those petty kingdoms take actions when they're bad. Bad government, they take actions that cross state lines. You know, you can't build, you know, the 4 years of build the wall. You know, you can't build a wall to keep a virus out.
No.
You can't stop the virus at the Texas-Oklahoma border, the Texas-Louisiana border, the Texas-Arkansas border, the Texas-New Mexico border. What? Is Colorado in there, too? I don't know. I can't. You can't. And so they're actually exercising, and this is where it becomes really offensive. They are exercising a degree of power that they do not constitutionally have by imposing their will by bioterrorism on other states that are trying to stop it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. And it's that freedom, states' rights.
And frankly, if sane states said no one may enter our state from Texas because it's a toxic viral cesspool, well, you know, tough. Because God knows Texas and Mississippi deserve it.
You played audio. I'm assuming it was that woman who's the Alabama governor.
Yeah, that. Well, yeah,
wasn't
yeah,
that her voice?
Yeah, that was Governor Meemaw.
I just had to sit down. I just had to sit down when I heard it. And that's Alabama, right?
Yeah.
You know, and things don't change, I guess. Instead of the schoolhouse door, she's standing in the health clinic door or whatever.
Yeah.
Basically.
You can't trust people who despise science to enact policy based on good science.
Well, yeah, there's that. I just, what's her name? I can't even think of her name.
Kay Ivey.
Oh, yeah. She's better suited to be the logo on a bag of potato chips. You know,
Grandma Meemaw K's, I don't know, COVID flavored potato chips.
With her hair up in a bun and those little wire rimmed glasses sliding down her.
And remember, the only reason she's governor is because she was lieutenant governor when the good God fearing upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical fundamentalist Christian governor of Alabama, Robert Bentley, a deacon in the First Baptist Church of Tuscaloosa, I believe. was caught on tape down at the beach in Gulf Shores. It's lovely down there. I'd wish I could go. But he was down there with somebody who was not Mrs. Bentley.
Ooh.
And got caught on tape saying, "I just love squeezing your titties."
Oh, baby, come on.
And broke a couple of laws in the process and had to step down as governor. And all of a sudden, Kay Ivey, Lieutenant Governor Meemaw, is like, "What? You mean I got to be governor now? Shit.
I can't do the potato chips? Oh, shit.
Yeah, I had a potato chip deal lined up."
Yeah, I can see the logo.
The Republicans primaried her. This was delightful. The Republicans primaried her, and her Republican opponents, not Democrats, mind you, her Republican opponents said that she was an alcoholic lesbian.
Oh, my dear.
And, you know, in a theocracy like Alabama, that doesn't make the mullahs happy. But somehow or another, she managed to win the primary. And then, of course, you know, that means she won the governor's office on her own because, you know, again, the Jesus will come back before Alabama has another Democratic governor.
Yeah. Well, I did not know that story that they painted her with that particular brush. You know, we cannot elect this woman. She's an alcoholic lesbian. Well,
does that mean it would have been okay if she'd been like a lesbian in recovery, or if she'd been an alcoholic straight woman? I mean, there are so many questions that come out of that, Scott.
I yet another state I'm glad I don't live in. You know, West Virginia is one of them. It's a lovely, lovely state. I've seen it. I've been there. Never been to Alabama. Don't want to go.
It's a beautiful place. It's a wonderful place. Once, you know.
If it weren't for the people, you know.
Yeah.
I love humanity. It's these fucking people that just work every goddamn nerve I've got.
Well, and Lee Marvin I'm sang it best in Paint Your Wagon, and in come the people and gum it up good.
Yeah, yeah. I want to get that soundtrack.
Oh, it's a dandy.
Lee Marvin singing, and what's his name? Clint Eastwood singing.
Yeah, he talked to the trees, and then he talked to the chair they made out of the trees, like I said the other night. It was perfect.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I want to pass along a TV tip. I do this from time to time. I came across one the other night, which had been on my list for a good year, or maybe it was a Firestone. But Motherless Brooklyn. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, film? I talked about it on air. So you watched it?
I finally watched it, and man,
did you love it?
Blew my ass away. I loved it. I loved it to death. And it loved it even more because the character that Alec Baldwin is based on is Robert Moses.
I wondered who that was, because I kind of wondered if it was Fred Trump, but he was way too smart.
Yeah, Yeah, if you ever want a long read, read Robert Caro's book, The Power Broker. It's about 3 inches thick, at least the paperback edition is. And it's the story of Robert Moses, a man who had more control over New York City and the New York City area, and to some degree, New York State, having never been elected, voted into office by anyone for like 50 years. It's a remarkable story. And that just heightened my appreciation.
And the movie was fantastic. Jonathan Lethem is the author of the books, and he has written back in the late 90s and early aughts. He wrote some fantastic fiction. I think he's still doing it. But Motherless Brooklyn was one of his best. There were a couple that were positively, mind-bendingly surreal. But I recommend his fiction to anybody who...
What's the author's name? I didn't realize it was based on...
Jonathan Lethem, L-E-T-H-E-M.
Yeah, that name does ring a bell, but I don't know why. All right, I am not a big fiction reader, but I'll tell you, every now and again, if I get a good recommendation, I'll pick up some fiction.
By the way, our buddy John in PA wants to know, did you see the John Oliver piece the other night, that bizarre cop rock scene?
Yeah, I'm getting a little tired of John Oliver and Bill Maher, too. It seems like they've changed writing staffs or something, or the pandemic has changed the configuration of their working situation. Neither of the shows is nearly as funny as they once were.
I don't have as much of a bone to pick with John Oliver as I did with, or I do with Bill Maher. You know, because when you deliberately bring somebody on just to talk about how white people are taking it in the shorts, I mean, that's a hell of a hill to decide you're going to die on.
Well, there's something, I don't know, I can't quite put my finger on it. He's not as funny as he was. His guest selection is for shit. And, apparently he buys into the notion that there should be balance on the panel. And I'm for that to a degree. But why is
his right wing balance always an attack blonde?
I want to be entertained on Sunday night, especially in this situation.
Or Friday night in the case of Maher.
The old TV, sit here. Yeah, or Friday night is what I meant. Friday night, sit down, fire up the TV, and just basically for an hour, take my mind off of all the nonsense. Make me laugh. I remember when he used to do that.
Yeah.
I think
there's probably a logistic organizational reason why, because you can't have a bunch of, there's a dynamic that takes place when you've got a bunch of comedy writers sitting around a table throwing ideas at each other. In some ways it doesn't translate to Zoom.
Yeah,
I think that's probably got something to do with it. Hey, I need to do something else here, Scott. Hang on a second. I'm going to bring Kevin into the conversation. He's been patiently waiting on the stress line, and I don't want to be sometimes I have a way of blowing past the stress line when I'm on with somebody on Skype. Are you there, Kevin?
Yes, I am. How are you all doing tonight? Wait, you told me. I know.
Are you okay?
Yep, I'm doing okay. Actually, I get a little cowbell because I just got my vaccine scheduled.
Hot damn, when do you get it?
Next week, next Tuesday. I've given the VA my new cell phone number, but I've never signed up for text messages, and I started getting text messages today. Do you want to sign up for the COVID vaccine? Sure. That's how it transferred. No warning whatsoever. And they got me a date that I could actually go and get the shot, and so I am, and, you know, all is good in the world, except that I'd like to see Agnes get it.
Yeah.
Hope, hopefully that will occur soon. And I got to say, you were talking about them being negligent, Abbott and Reeves and DeSantis. They're not negligent. They're willfully reckless. That's a better word to describe it. Willfully reckless.
Yes. Willful, wanton, and reckless. It's a legal standard.
Yeah. And usually there's a criminal charge that goes with that kind of behavior.
Yes. But not in this case.
No, because they're governors. And they're Republicans. So, but anyway. And the other thing I wanted to tell you, my order of the salve is on the way. I'm looking forward to that. Everything you've said about it, I'm looking forward to trying it for myself.
Oh, goody, goody.
So, thank you to Bernadette for sending it out, and hopefully I'll get it in the next few days. But got that purely on your recommendation, Bob. So, or Robin. So,
I hope it works nicely for you. Agnes absolutely loves it.
Well, it's
really nice on my neck too. Like John Bridivo says, you know, it's not going to get way down bone deep pain, but like muscle pain and stuff like that, it's fan-freaking-tastic. I mean, I start feeling results within minutes. And in point of fact, I think we're almost out.
Well.
So it's time for me to get in
touch. Time to order a new. I'm looking at anything that'll help me, especially with those morning aches and pains. Instead of taking a pain pill, that would be nice. I know it's not going to get down to bone, but with the muscle aches and things like that, I'm looking forward to seeing if it works as good as you say it does, and I have no doubt it does, but you know what I'm saying. I want to try it for myself.
Yeah.
So, and other than that, that's about all I had. I just wanted to call in and say hi, and hello to Scott there in California.
I'm awful glad that you did.
Well, hello, Scott. So,
where are you?
I'm doing good.
But where are you?
Colorado Springs.
I couldn't remember. Okay. How is it there? Is it okay? Or people behaving themselves?
Filled with too many Republicans, but other than that, it's nice. Not nice weather today. We had snow and sleet and rain and all that good stuff that you get in early spring. However, I'd like to report, Robin, that I've heard the ducks coming back. I've heard the crows, which is a sure sign of spring. I know they don't leave during the winter, but you generally hear them at the beginning of spring and the beginning of fall.
That's like
me, really loud.
Yeah, last Sunday night, that's like me hearing the peepers off in the distance. It just, it lifted my spirits. It made my heart happy. And the other thing that I'm getting really excited for, you know, y'all won't get it out there, but I think it's called Brood X. Oh, the cicadas are coming with warm weather. And it's gonna sound, I love the big cicada hatches. We had one last spring, and we're going to have one this spring. And it's going to sound, it's just a persistent dawn to dusk roar. And at first it's like, damn, that's loud. But then when it's gone, you look up and go, wait, where'd they go?
Yep.
It's beautiful in its own right. You know, nature builds in around them. And there's a thing called a cicada hornet that hatches with them and dines on them.
And, oh, wow.
And they're big, and, you know, cicadas are big and ugly. And the cicada hornets are big and ugly to go with them and scary. I mean, you think a cicada is scary. I mean, they don't hurt you. But those big-ass ugly hornets, my God. I mean, they fucking fly around here during cicada hatches like German bombers.
So you got your murder hornets. Now you're telling me you got your dining hornets.
Yeah, they come out at the same time the cicadas do, and they got a powerful case of the munchies, Scott.
Jesus.
with a little napkin around their neck and a knife in each hand.
And they dive bomb you. They're like fucking Stukas.
Yeah, Jesus. I'm glad I don't live there.
You know, and you're like, do I look like a
do
cicada?
They sting?
Yeah. Yes, they sting. They're hornets.
Oh, wow.
They got stingers. They got stingers like barbed 10-penny nails.
Holy fuck!
Wow!
Damn! You're scaring me. Stop!
That's something to look on their hide.
Yeah.
You say they say it's a roar. What do they sound like? Is it like a cricket, or is it? What does it sound like?
Well, it's not like the friendly little chirp of a cricket. It's loud and persistent. You know, crickets are like chirp, 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 chirp.
Yep.
These are like, shh. I mean, it's like a hum. It's a
buzzing.
Yeah, it's a buzzing hum. It's just constant. It never lets up because there's millions of them, and it all translates to. I'm getting laid. I'm getting laid. I'm getting laid. Or I want to get laid. I want to get laid. I want to get laid. I mean, it really is. Yes. I mean, they use that call to attract a mate.
It's a cacophony.
It is truly. It is the dictionary definition of a cacophony.
Yeah, yeah. I remember those.
And it's wondrous. It's absolutely wondrous.
And it was a reminder from nature. The change was occurring. Life was continuing anew. It's sort of a tugging of your sleeve by nature itself saying, you know, the wheels come round and here we go again, you know?
Yeah. But here we are at the end of the program. Thanks, guys. I'm glad you both called in. I appreciate it a lot. Have yourself a great evening and Friday on the front porch tomorrow if y'all want to jump in.
Okay, you might be welcome to.
Kevin, be good. You too, Scott.
You too, Scott.
Later, y'all. And so we come to the end of this evening's program. Thanks to all of you who joined in, for joining in. Thank you very kindly indeed. Oh, by the way, going back to Mar for a second, Matt in San Francisco wrote in, Bill's just butthurt that certain colleges don't appreciate his humor. Instead of just accepting that the younger generation doesn't like his humor, he claims he's being silenced. I consider it a hard sell when you have a show on a major cable outlet like HBO that you can consider yourself canceled. Matt, that smells a lot more like privilege than cancellation. It's not that. It's just some people don't appreciate your humor, Mar. Get over yourself. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm with Scott on that. I don't find him particularly enjoyable. And by the way, with a reminder, Jeremy in Vermont says 12 a.m. It's not midnight March 5th yet, so don't tell us Jesus' much fatter, stupider brother can't come back to claim the golden throne. Yes, his toilet. Jesus is fat, much fatter, stupider brother. You know, Donald. Yeah, that's good. That was worth the cowbell. Like I said, thanks, everybody. Thanks to our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thank you so much. You aren't many, but you are fantastic in what you do. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thanks, Ralphs, for meeting Joey's and Giraffe's challenge. Looks like tomorrow is going to be 9:35. Whoo! Well, doggies, that's a mite frightening. But just the same, thank you. And thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you so kindly. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky earlier in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. At headon.live. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Keep getting better, Ben. Just keep getting better. Things are hard, I know, but they will get better. They have to. How? Don't know. It's a mystery. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Stay home if you can. Go out as little as possible. If you have to go out, please wear a mask. Put a disposable mask on over top of the other mask. Because there are idiots out there. And there are more of them than we can even begin to contemplate. Too many. So, use your hand sanitizer, wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear your nitrile gloves if you can, and learn to put them on and take them off the right way. Maintain your social distance. We're going to be doing that for a long time. I don't care what Greg Abbott says. Mm-mm. No. And of course, if somebody comes towards you saying, I don't want to be in jail no more. This sucks. This is a bunch of crap. I want to go home. Avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. Later.